want you to hit me as hard as you can.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Friday edition of the DeathStoreProds.com podcast. Talk about movies. Yay! Of course, my host, the Dead Man, joining me today, as always, we have Bovi-Wan.
Ape.
And Chax.
Every time you do the intro, I want to interrupt you doing the intro so I can also do the intro at the same time.
What, just do like an intro round?
Just like while you start doing the intro, I want to also start doing the intro.
That'll be terrible. Okay, so yeah, we're here to talk about some movies and television. Shax, what have you watched for the past couple weeks?
Not too much. I've been watching the normal TV shows. Boardwalk Empire is getting fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That show's it's getting crazy. I know you guys don't watch, and any listeners that do watch, spoiler alert, but Nucky Thompson gets shot in his hand. Crazy shit happens. I don't want to give too much away. It's crazy. Psych, still watching.
Yeah, Psych is good.
I love those guys.
Yeah, the mental institution.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm an ice cream man, but with pharmaceuticals.
And episode 2, they have it had that the guy that they are trying to prove or disprove being crazy ever was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And it was kind of like, that makes sense to have him in here as a crazy person.
And I'm pretty sure that guy plays Chucky.
Plays Chucky
from Child's Play.
Could be. I haven't seen the. You're talking about just the original one, I assume, the first one.
Well, I'm talking about all of them. He's been Chucky since the first movie.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, probably the voice of him.
Yeah, like the actual dude before he did stupid voodoo bullshit and put his soul in the doll. Yeah, it was Brad Dourif.
Yeah, it could be. It's been a very, very long time since I've seen the first movie of that.
Yeah, that was great. And just like the Vivian Frank thing with Gus.
That was kind of creepy. Like,
it was a bit, but still, it was funny.
It was funny, but it was just like, dude, show some restraint. Like,
yeah, it was actually just kind of funny. Like when they first did the scene where he does like that, where he does his hello,
yeah,
and it's like that zoom in on it. That was actually really cool for me. It was like they dolly in while zooming out. It was really fucking cool.
Let me ask you guys this. James Rhodey,
mm-hmm.
Sean Spencer of Psych, could you see him playing Nathan Drake?
Maybe, actually.
I mean, toned up a little bit more. Well, I don't want to say toned up a little bit more, because, I mean, he seems in shape, but it looks like he's a little heavy set compared to...
Like if he went to the gym, you know, pump some iron a bit more, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, he could. Like, he could play, like, a TV Nathan Drake, but I don't think he'd do a movie Nathan Drake.
I'd like to see him do, like, that sarcastic... I'd like to see him see what he could do with that role. Like, if he was like, hey, you know, if he was to do an audition, I'd like to see an audition tape for him doing it.
That would be actually really cool, because, you know, he does, like, have the look. He does kind of have that snarkiness that is, you know,
yeah,
Nathan Drake. But I'm just kind of, like, skeptical about whether he'd be able to make the transition to movie.
Oh, you mean as an actor?
Yeah, the only movies I've seen him in was the one bit part where he gets murdered in Beerfest, and when he was in Replicate.
I have I've seen Beer Fest. What part does he die in Beer Fest?
You remember that part where like the German team, they're like in their house, like will up the weights and stuff, and then that guy and that little like messenger boy comes in with like little lederhosen and they drown him in beer.
I think so.
That's James Rodin.
Really, I'm gonna have to watch it again now.
Yeah, James Rodin, a blonde wig.
That's hilarious. Yeah. What's the other movie that he was in?
Replicate.
What is that the? Yeah, what movie is that? I'm trying to think, but I can't.
So that one, James Rodin. What?
Is that the Gary Sinise movie?
No.
Okay.
So in this one, James Rodin and his roommate, I guess, they're like university students, like graduate students, and they're working on human, and they're working on cloning. Uh-huh. So then they'll be cloning rats, and then there's this girl that James Rodin is trying to pick up. So what happens is she accidentally like cuts her finger on some glass in the lab, and it spills it onto the, like the little disc things that get put into the cloning machine.
Hmm.
So then she gets then there's a clone of her. But so then what James Rodin and his roommate decide to do is to like well she since she has like no real knowledge, like she's essentially a newborn, like with that kind of thing, like she can barely like she knows how to walk, but she doesn't know how to like act or talk or like think or any, or like do any of that stuff.
Right.
So they decide to teach her to be a guy.
Okay.
So it's essentially just like there's this really hot chick. But she's into video games, sports, beer, belching, really stupid shit, and watching porn and shit.
Right.
And it's essentially just that, like this guy likes the girl, but then there's this other girl who's exactly like her, except who looks exactly like her, but is the exact opposite.
The version sounds like one of my friends.
Yeah, and the dad from American Pie is in it.
Eugene Levy?
Yeah, Eugene Levy is in it as the evil college professor.
Man, what happened to him?
American Pie happened to him.
Yeah. Right? Good point.
That dude is a genius at comedy, man. And then he's just like, everything.
Yeah, SCTV was great.
American Pie? I guess I'll whore myself out now.
Yeah. It's like he went on American Pie, then played that role unto death, and now I haven't seen him in anything else.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus, like, and even the movies he was picking up in between the American Pie movies, like The Man with Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, I never watched that.
I haven't seen the whole thing, so I can't really say too much about it, I guess, but like the 15 minutes of it I did watch was fucking horrible. And it's just like, man, like what, like, dude, Armed and Dangerous, Splash, like, he used to make good fucking, the first two American Pie movies, he was good in those.
Yeah, but like, that's kind of the thing that seems to happen with, like, like big name comedy actors, like Adam Sandler, Eddie Murphy, like, those guys, they used to do, like, really raunchy-ass, hilarious comedy.
Right.
Then as the years went on, they like, that one role that was like, hey, it's pretty good, that everything was downhill from there.
Right. Oh yeah, Eddie Murphy. Oh.
God, Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just thank God that Eugene Levy has yet to do a cross-dressing movie.
just wait a couple of years. It's coming.
Yes, I might have said this before, but as space is to horror movies, cross-dressing is to comedy.
Oh yeah, dude, we should do like our top 10 favorite or worst or most hated cross-dress movies or some shit.
Every single cross-dresser movie is terrible.
Considering I've watched none of them all the way through. Oh, sorry, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay, Mrs. Doubtfire wasn't bad.
It is the one exception. It's the only cross-dressing movie that did not absolutely murder a comedian's career.
What about Tootsie?
I've never seen all of Tootsie. I've seen bits and pieces of it, and it's always been chopped up.
Yeah, neither have I, so...
Hmm. Well, we never know, like... Dustin Hoffman was in Tootsie, and he still managed to get work after. That was good.
Yeah.
Speaking of Dustin Hoffman, I really want to watch Straw Dogs.
So do I.
Yeah, why haven't I?
Is it out on video yet?
It's been out on the video for like 30 years.
Oh, you're talking about the original one.
Yeah, Dustin Hoffman. I haven't seen the original.
Yeah, I want to see the original too. I wasn't talking about the remake at all.
Coming up soon, Death Door Prod's commentary of Straw Dogs.
Yeah, you never know. We do have that new, possibly bi-weekly feature.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll get more into that later. Okay, so Shax, what else you watch?
All right, well, that's basically it for TV shows. Let me talk a little Captain America with you guys, seeing I unfortunately missed the review cast. Mm-hmm. I love the movie. Let's see here. I think it's kind of ironic, or at least there's some irony to the idea that Marvel and Disney probably paid a lot of money to tone down the looks of Chris Evans for the start of the movie, whereas other companies paid a lot of money to try to make it like the Green Lantern look amazing. It's like there's irony there or something, right? I couldn't help that. Like, the first time I watched it, I'm like, it probably costs a lot of money to make him look skinny, scrawny, and boring.
Well, not really. Just take a skinny, scrawny dude and put a green mask on him.
I hate you. let's see.
You're crushing his dreams, man.
That's what I do.
Well, they really did a good job of putting it together. I mean, his head did look a little for that body, but so he was a little guy with a big head, whatever.
The only thing that didn't fit with Chris Evans in the scrawny form as Steve Rogers was the voice sounded wrong. That did not sound like the voice of a little guy.
Mm. Yeah, he should have had a little bit.
I don't care how deep a voice you have, you don't sound like that.
Yeah.
I'm Steve Rogers, and I'm a tiny little wimp.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I have asthma.
Yeah, I think he could have been like, I'm Steve Rogers, I'm a little wimp, you know, something.
I don't know, he could have gone with his Johnny the Human Torch voice. That's better.
Yeah, God.
Yeah.
So then he would sound like a whiny little bitch.
I didn't mind him as Johnny Storm. Well, yeah.
He was the least terrible part of those movies.
I liked the Human Torch. So I was kind of like, he's cool in my book. Like, he couldn't have done any wrong, really. I mean, he was annoying with where he was like, oh, look at me, like attention whore. That was always like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but that's always been Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
Until, you know, died.
Jesus, spoiler alert.
He's been dead for months.
Oh,
some of us aren't up to date with all comic books. Someone here is in the middle of reading Ultimate Spider-Man 39.
Okay, well, Johnny Storm lives in that. But in, you know, Fantastic Four proper, Johnny Storm got killed in the negative zone or some bullshit.
God, it seems like Marvel's going down the same road that fucking DC apparently did at some point and killing off the superheroes.
Yeah, maybe. Well, how do you mean?
Spider-Man's now dead. Captain America's dead. Johnny Storm's dead.
Okay, so Spider-Man is only dead in the fictional alternate universe of the Ultimate. In regular universe, he's still alive and kicking. And in Captain America, that was just Bucky Barnes. Steve Rogers is still alive.
Oh.
Yeah, Steve stepped down from the role of Cap, and then Bucky took over. Then he got killed. Then Bucky got killed in Fear Itself, and then Steve Rogers came back as Captain America.
Well, I thought Bucky was the Frost Soldier or some shit like that.
Nope. Bucky is essentially Captain's Robin.
Yeah.
Only he wears pants.
And he doesn't like cry with the cell phone.
That sounded dirty. He doesn't wear pants.
All right, we're like way off topic.
Yeah. TV movies.
So Captain America, yeah, I really liked the movie. Let's see. There's some things I'm not sure if I like. First of all, Hydra. Is that in the comic books?
Yes.
Or is it always Nazis?
It is just Hydra is essentially Nazis. only more evil.
But yeah, Hydra's around in the comics.
Okay. Yeah, I think maybe it feels I can't. They broke away from Nazi Germany. I can't imagine that being at all realistic. But then we're talking about super soldiers.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy whose head is a red skull using a fucking cube from space to fight a dude who is supposed to be American but looks insanely Aryan.
Yeah. So, yeah, then the Red Skull, I didn't like that he had a mask on. I don't know if he's ever done that in the comic books.
He might have. I don't know. I don't read Captain America.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's where, because, I mean, there's some things about it that I didn't like, but it's just like, well, I don't know if that's comic book related or not. And I'm thinking to myself that as the Red Skull, he was just always the Red Skull. And for the way they revealed him as the Red Skull in this was absolutely ridiculous. Like, I mean, okay, he got punched in the face 10 seconds before he decided to rip the mask off, but come on, I'm sure you could have just fixed it or something. I mean, dude, he just, like, ripped it off and was like, look at me, and then threw it away. It's like, why did you do that? And why did you get a new one or something?
The one thing I will point out, it was the one line in Captain America I really didn't like. I don't know if I mentioned this during the review cast. I probably just didn't think of it.
Yeah, I don't think you did.
There's one line I really don't like. It is that scene. It's when Red Skull says, I do not hide. I am proud. Really? Haven't you been wearing a mask the entire fucking movie?
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, you lying cocksucker.
That's just weird. Like, for the first half of it, before he shows up, he's just, like, the entire time just like fixing his mask every couple seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and then there's, like, there's a couple of parts that, like, seem kind of inconsistent with him and the mask and apparently how he feels about people seeing him as the Red Skull. Like, the point where he's having this old man paint his picture as the Red Skull. So he's going to have a painting of himself as the Red Skull. But as soon as the scientist dude walks in, he shuts the lights off. I mean, obviously it was for the audience to not see him.
Mm.
But it was just ridiculous the way they did that, because it's like, oh, I don't want the scientist dude to see me, although this guy over here, I'm going to allow not only to see me, but to paint me this way.
Hmm.
And like,
then he still lets the scientist see him, just when the audience isn't looking.
Yeah.
I think the Red Skull has discovered the powers of fourth wall. This is the best explanation.
Right.
So he's dead. So it's like he's the Red Skull crossed with Deadpool now. Because Deadpool's always known there's been a fourth wall.
Yeah. Maybe it is.
But yeah. So. Yeah, he's aware of the fourth wall, and he just doesn't want the audience to know he is until just the right moment.
Yeah, like says to rip it off.
Yeah, like the director is just like always just out of frame, just like, all right, so hide your face. Now show your face. Yay.
But I really enjoyed that part of the movie where that dude's painting his picture and the Red Skull asks the scientist what he thinks of the picture, and you could just see the tension in the painter's face. I mean, like, as soon as the scientist dude is like, it's a masterpiece or whatever, and the painter just takes this huge sigh, like, oh, thank God, I'm not about to get my fucking head blown off. I really like that. Just seeing the painter and his, like, oh, shit, like it, masterpiece. Oh.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious. I love that part.
Yeah, that was great.
The only other thing that really annoyed me about this movie is, Chris Evans, like when he's getting beat up in the alleyway, he picks up the trash can lid as a shield, and then like later after he first becomes a super soldier, he picks up that car door and he's using the shield, and it's like, all right, we get it. He's Captain America and he's gonna be using a shield. Let's, you know, you can fucking stop with these little nods to him using shields.
I actually kind of like that.
I mean, like, well, like the one with the car door made sense, but like having to add it in with the earlier one, it's just like, all right, we get it. He's Captain America. We know he's going to use a shield.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, but, like that one was actually like kind of that one was also kind of like justified because, you know, he's getting beat up. You know, what's the best way to keep yourself from getting beat up? Put something in the way of that fist.
Except for that he never does, and the dude just punches him in the face anyway.
Yeah, he does. He hides behind.
He held it up.
Yeah, he does. He hides behind. Doesn't the guy, like, grab him, throw away, then punch him in the face?
I don't know. I just remember punching him in the face. Either way, it was ridiculous to have two parts of him holding onto something as a shield when clearly we get it. We know he's Captain America and he uses a shield. We didn't need any of it.
Yeah, but not everybody knows that. Remember, most people are idiots.
Sure.
I think the trailers told us enough that he's going to be using a shield.
Yes, but remember, people are idiots. They probably don't watch trailers. It's like, trailers mean nothing. Trailers? Why are they showing that on TV? I already live in one.
I'm sure the normal movie audience watches trailers. I think it's huge movie buffs that don't watch trailers. Those are the guys that are like, I'm against watching trailers. I don't want anything spoiled for me. Where the casual audience, they, I think, watch trailers.
Actually, funny commentary about trailers. I don't know if you guys ever watched the Onion News Network.
Nope.
But they did this great story of they're basically fake news, of how fans hope the new Iron Man movie will stay true to the trailer. So basically, it's all these people reacting to the fact that there's an Iron Man movie coming out as if it's being made as a remake of the trailer. It's like, this is what people have devolved into with movies.
That's hilarious.
That sounds pretty good.
Okay, well, so yeah, Captain America, other than those couple of little things, I really enjoyed the movie. Tommy Lee Jones was amazing in it. Chris Evans really pulled it off. I mean, compared to some of the people that were apparently on the list to maybe play Captain America, one of them being Will Smith, which...
What the hell?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he could have been maybe like U.S. agent or something.
But wasn't he? Oh no, I'm thinking Captain Britain.
Yes, you're. I don't know.
Okay. So as I was gonna say, isn't he like a? Isn't that dude like a big buff white guy? And I'm like, oh no, that's Captain Britain.
No, U.S. agent is a big buff white guy, but you know, so was Heimdall.
Okay. Maybe I didn't have as confused as much as I thought I did.
I don't know. Will Smith could play Luke Cage, maybe?
I don't know.
He's not quite big enough.
I don't know. Cloak?
Well, they said, I mean, I read it on IMDb, and it says on there, like, the list for Captain America, and it had his name on it. But it also had, like, John, what's his name? John Krasinski?
John Krasinski?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be terrible.
Yeah.
That would be just awful.
Yeah. Yeah, but
like, oh, guys, I don't know. I'm trying to pick up this girl, but I don't think she likes me.
And then he will break the fourth wall by constantly looking at the camera, smirking, and just nodding his head.
Oh, but I don't get it. Like, if he actually did get Captain America, like, would they just put like a suit over him because he has a Canadian flag like tattooed on his chest?
Does he really?
Yeah, he has like a red maple leaf from the center of the Canadian flag, just tattooed on his like right pec, on his left pec.
I'm sure they would have been able to buff that out.
Yeah, you can easily cover up tattoos with makeup.
Yeah, but still, like, kind of would have been hilarious. You know, you see Captain America, he has a Canadian flag tattooed in his chest.
That would be funny. Yes.
Yeah, and just like every once in a while, you just hear him say "A." It's like, oh, I'm here to take you down, Red Skull, don't you know?
It's about time someone did.
Starts drinking maple syrup.
It makes him stronger. Yeah. No, that's what they use to make him get America. That's what they pump into him.
Yeah. It's like, they put up a special chemical that's made... What's in it? It's like, it consists mostly of maple syrup. Where is it from? Like, what brand is it? It is freshly tapped from Quebec. All right.
I'm now suddenly urged to make a short film called Captain Canada.
Marvel already does have a Captain Canuck.
No. Specifically Captain Canada. With these ideas of like the maple syrup being the serum and all that crap.
Yeah, that'd be good. That would be good.
I'll talk to my contacts.
If you contact your people, we need some shit for the YouTube channel.
What's he gonna, is he gonna have a shield like Captain America? Just like a Beaver. Kinda like a red, white, red, and then a white leaf?
It's a red leaf.
Beaver.
Yeah, it'd be a red leaf, then like it'd be a red leaf inside a white center, then a red outer rim.
Oh, and then like another white rim, and then another red one.
No, seriously, he's gonna be holding a beaver and a lacrosse stick.
How about just a beaver tail?
No, just a beaver.
Yeah, yeah, no, his shield's gonna be a giant hockey puck.
He's gonna there we go. He can use a hockey blocker.
Yeah, he throws moose at people.
Like, fuck, just give him his whole wardrobe is like a hockey goalie outfit.
he's just a hockey player. It's just some guy from like the Canucks just comes out and is like, oh, hey, I'm here to take it down, eh? And just cross checks everybody.
Dude. Okay, this is what happens. Like electricity, there's a thunderstorm, and electricity hits a tree, and the tree has sap in it, and for some reason the sap gets electrified and does something with the particles inside this maple syrup. He goes out to like drain some maple syrup to make, you know, maple syrup with it, and then he puts it on his pancakes and gets these special powers from it. Super strength.
No, I have an idea. Another idea. So it's that whole thing, you know, a tree gets struck by lightning, gets magic, it's magic sap. But then some guy, like, he taps the sap and then he goes to make maple candy with it. Then some tourists from Ontario come along, and then one person eats like that magical maple candy, and all of a sudden turns into Captain Canada. And then like every single fucking Quebecer is just like, oh god damn it, man, why didn't you eat it? You know, and then the entire thing becomes like Quebec becomes like an evil like organization, believing that Ontario stole their magical syrup, even though it was literally given to them on a stick.
What can we do with the arch villain?
Arch villain, poutine man. It's just a fat French Canadian who eats nothing but poutine. You know, his weapon is like a giant thing that shoots scalding hot gravy at you.
His minions are moose.
Yes, it's Billy.
No, he has to have Quebec.
Yes, his minions are John. His minions are clones of Jean Chrétien. They're just coming at you and shooting lasers sideways out of their mouths.
The proof is the proof.
Yes, the proof is the proof. Blah. No, they all just roll.
They're firing the laser.
You know, they're all armed with built-in mace cans in their hands. So that every time anyone comes up, they just spray them in the face with super mace that like burns their eyes out. I hope you guys are writing this.
Strangling people at Occupy Ottawa.
I hope you guys. I hope someone's writing this down.
Well, it's good. We're recording. We can just go back to it. Okay. Wow. I think we're like on. We're. Are we trying to like break the record of James breaking down the show? Because we're on track too.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Off topic is fine. I haven't watched much, so keep the off topic going. I haven't watched much, so keep the off topic going.
All right. I just want to get done with Captain America. Captain America, I give it a 5 out of 5. By far the best superhero movie of this past summer.
How do you think it rates on like the scale of Marvel movies? Like, is it better than Iron Man?
Better than the first Iron Man for sure. I didn't really care for the first Iron Man
2.
Iron Man 2, it was good, but I didn't like it as much as the first one.
Yeah, that's tough. The second one, I like the second Iron Man better than the first Iron Man, but mostly because of Sam Rockwell is just hilarious. I didn't like that they brought in, what's-his-name to play as, War Machine.
Don Cheadle?
Yeah. I like John Cheadle. He's a good actor, but I kind of wish they would have kept the, what's-his-name?
Terrence Howard.
Yes.
Really fucking hated Terrence Howard.
Really?
Yeah, he just sounded so disinterested for the entire thing.
I don't know. He's all right actor. He hits and misses a lot for me. Let me think about this for a second. Yeah, because now that I'm thinking about it, X-Men First Class was really fucking good. And I think I reviewed it. I only gave it like a 4 or 4.5.
Let me pull that up and let me pull that up and check.
So I'm going to say this. I have not seen X-Men First Class, which you both say is amazing. So right now, Captain America is sitting at my number one for Marvel movies.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you should. Yeah, you definitely should watch First Class. To me, the biggest problem I had with X-Men First Class is because there's, like I said before, there's no continuity really compared, you know, along with the other movies. That this was their chance to kind of restart the franchise in movie form, and they could have brought in all their original X-Men and done it correctly with the right team, and that really annoyed me that they didn't.
You gave it 4.5.
4.5, yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, because that really, really annoyed me, the what they did with, you know, bringing Havoc in and Cyclops isn't there, and it's like, that doesn't make sense. It was just, like, really off, and I didn't like it. They had a chance to do that and do it right, and they didn't. Other than that, yeah, that was a really good movie. I got to say, Captain America is sitting at number 2. I don't know. That's a tough call. It really is. I don't know Captain America's origin that well.
It's pretty much the same as what happened in the movie. Like, there's, like, this really scrawny kid wants to join the military, but he can't. So then Dr. Erskine decides to, like, introduce him to the Super Soldier program, and then he becomes Captain America.
Yeah, I don't know, because, like, James McAvoy and, what's the guy that played as Magneto? I keep forgetting his name.
Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Those guys really did a good fucking job with those parts.
Yeah, like, that was a good thing. Like, you had these two really great actors playing off of each other. But in Cap, you were always having, like, a really great actor paired with somebody who is not that great, who you've never really seen before. So it's just like this guy overpowering the scene.
Yeah, Stanley Tucci, he was really fucking good at Captain America. I really liked his part.
Yeah, exactly. And he kind of overshadowed Chris Evans a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like probably best that he didn't make it too far.
Yeah, if he did, I imagine just, like, at some point he'd just be like, all right, you know, just fuck this. Then, like, injects himself with the Super Soldier Serum and goes apeshit and, like, just takes out Red Skull. I am Captain Bratwurst. Or I am Captain Scotch or something.
He throws sauerkraut at people.
And he throws sauerkraut and science at them.
And science.
Yeah.
He just throws out like science problems and throws. He just screams out a science problem and then throws the sauerkraut and he gets into people's eyes and then they're like, I'm Einstein, but he wants what? The square root?
That's math, dude. No, he just throws it. No, he just like
throws. Play Portal. Science is a commodity.
Yeah, he just throws it. No, he doesn't just. But he just throws out science terms. It's like comes out with like entropy, and then everyone just all of a sudden like, oh god.
Oh,
like, wow. Thermal energy. Blah.
We have created two superheroes tonight.
Yes.
I'm gonna say because it's pronounced differently, we're not gonna have Captain Canada. No. Lieutenant Canada.
Yes.
And General Bratwurst.
Yes. Brigadier General Bratwurst. We gotta give him. We also have to give him that sick ass. Gotta give him that sick ass communist stash.
Oh my god. I hope someone that makes comic books is listening to this right now.
They aren't.
I could dream.
Yeah, I'm guessing people who don't. I'm guessing people who like movies aren't listening to this either.
But you know what? Eventually, Hollywood's going to run out of ideas, and they will go to this podcast and they'll be like, Lieutenant Canada, that's great!
Yeah, they'll be like, alright, so we've remade every old horror movie, we've ripped off every movie from Japan, what else is there? Like, crap, we haven't come up with the original idea in 50 years. It's like, oh, I don't know, let's fucking scour the internet, someone's got to have something out there.
I want to write a movie script, like a live action movie about Casey Jones.
What from TMNT?
What's that?
Ninja Turtles.
No. There was an old Disney short cartoon of a baseball player named Casey Jones that never struck out. And the whole thing was, it was like a short cartoon. I think it was like one of those like 10-minute cartoons or something. Mm-hmm. And he was a baseball player in like the 1930s or whatever. He never struck out, the world's greatest baseball player. And what happens is he lets the guy throw two strikes at him. He's just standing there all smug and everything. Oh, you can't strike me out. And then when the third pitch comes, he swings at it, thinking he's going to, home run, because he always does, and he misses. And then everyone's shocked and all, like, oh, my God, Casey Jones has been struck out. This is unbelievable. And then, there's a cut to where the rain's pouring down on the baseball field, and Casey Jones just keeps picking up the baseball, kind of, just tossing up in the air and swinging and missing it. And he's crying the whole time, and he's just, gone insane. And I'd love to make a live action movie of how his rise to be, this famous baseball player, and then his downfall and insanity.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd actually be really good.
Yeah, I love the idea, but I gotta find the cartoon again so I can at least watch it, because I don't remember any more than that.
Remember when Disney was edgy?
Yeah.
I had heard once
back when Donald Duck punched out Nazis.
I heard there was once a car. I heard there was once a Mickey Mouse comic strip where Mickey tried to commit suicide for the entire thing.
Oh.
Minnie broke up with him. He just spent the entire time just trying to, from what I saw, it was just, three panels. He was just kind of crying through the window, grabbed a shotgun off the wall, and just started loading it.
Oh, this reminds me of a great joke. So, Mickey Mouse is in divorce court. And the judge says to him, "So you're telling me you want to divorce your wife because she's crazy?" And Mickey says, "Well, no, I believe what I said is that she's fucking goofy."
I've heard that joke 1,000 times, and I still laugh every time I hear it.
That's the first time I've heard it.
I love that joke.
That's a great joke.
And it's even better that you actually went to the depths of sounding like Mickey.
I don't do a great Mickey Mouse, but I try.
And that's the point. You tried. I've never heard anyone try before. Oh. All right, so do we want to get on to my other two movies?
Yes, please. Please, for the love of God. Let's get this fucking podcast back on track.
Okay, so my second movie is The Toy. Guys heard of it?
No.
It's an old, early 80s, Richard Pryor, Jackie Gleason. Jackie Gleason plays as this, rich, wealthy senator-type guy, something where he, owns, basically owns a town. Richard Pryor just plays as a black guy trying to get a job. He's a writer, but he's not writing anything, and his wife's like, "Hey, we're gonna lose the house. You need to get a job. Come on." So what happens is he gets a job working as a maid for Jackie Gleason. Jackie Gleason finds out he's a guy, and there's this little funny scene that there's a funny scene where Jackie Gleason, everyone's afraid of him. All everyone around him's a yes man. And there's this huge dining room with this long dining room table that all of his fucking yes men are sitting at. And he walks in and he drags the table to him so that everyone's trying to pass the food around, their plates and shit. And then Richard Pryor's at the other end as the maid comes over, just drags it back. And then a little thing happens to him and he's "You're fired." And then Rich Pryor ends up getting a job, being a maintenance, or not maintenance, but a cleaning crew, at the mall. And it's nighttime, store's closed, and Jack Gleason's son, his little 8-year-old son, the thing is his dad's whatever you want, I'll buy you anything. So what they do is he has a bunch of his yes men take the kid to the mall after hours. Jackie Gleason owns the mall, so they can do this. And Jackie Gleason's son, I can't remember his name in the movie, unfortunately. The kid actually grew up to be a porn star Kind of. Well, he was in a porn movie at some point in his adult life. So, yeah, the son sees Richard Pryor. He's playing around with this big inflatable wheel thing going back and forth. And the kid likes it. He's like, I want one. I want the black man. And then, yeah. So basically, Ned Betty is one of the guys, one of the yes men. And him and this other guy are, like, just handing, like, $20 or $100 bills or some shit to Richard Pryor. Like, he's like, no, I can't be bought. That's like slavery. What are you doing? And they're just like keep piling in this money into his hands. And he's like, maybe, blah, blah, blah. So it comes to the point where Richard Pryor gets bought as this young kid's toy. And, comedy ensues from there. I mean, there's like, in today's society, with how people are with racism, this movie probably wouldn't fly. Like, everyone would be just disgusted with the movie because there's, like, a lot of, like, racist humor in it and stuff like that. And, you know, he's a black man that's been bought by white people. And there's an incident later on in the movie that has to deal with the Ku Klux Klan a little bit. Nothing with white hoods or anything, but still is mention of it. It's funny for its time. Like, as a kid, I remember really enjoying this movie, but now as an adult watching it and seeing this adult black man carrying around with this little white kid, some of the parts are kind of seems inappropriate. Like, he has the kid on his shoulders, and then they're, like, walking underneath this tree. The kid grabs a hold of the branch, and he kind of, like, stops, like, whoa, yeah. And then he turns around with the kid on his shoulder, so now the kid's crotch is in his face. And he's talking to the kid, and I'm just like, that is completely wrong.
Yeah, that wouldn't fly. Okay, and yeah, also, the actor who played that kid's name is Scott Schwartz.
Scott Schwartz, okay.
And the character's name is Eric Bates.
Oh, yeah, and that's another thing, because his last name is Bates.
Yes, so...
They call him Master Bates. Like, Richard Pryor's name is Jack in the movie. And, like, when they're introducing him to the kid, they're like, Jack, Master Bates. And what's really hilarious about that is when I was a kid... And because, like, when they introduce him to the kid as Master Bates and he starts laughing, I remember asking my mom why he's laughing at his name. Because I didn't know what Master Bates was.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, the innocence of childhood.
Yeah.
Thank God the internet has ridden us of all that.
Yeah, totally. And that kind of innocence and naive or ignorance, if you will, that I had back then kind of went hand in hand with the other things that happened in this movie that as an adult watching it seemed like a little inappropriate or a little racy and stuff like that. But I mean,
but yeah, like just with the racist thing, like, yeah, probably wouldn't fly today with like how insane people are, but you know, Is it actually like hurtful racism? Like they're just trying to like the racist joke being like tried to hurtful, or just they're just being played for laughs?
No, yeah, definitely just for laughs, and they're not really strong or anything. I mean, it's just there's just a couple of mentions here and there about how like you can't buy a black man. Are you kidding me? You know, things like that.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, like that is a little bit racist, but it's not that bad. Like,
right?
Like I have a man. Like I have a man who fucking hates racism. Like real proper hateful racism, I will. If you do that shit for me, I will beat you with an inch of your life. But like you know, I love black jokes.
Right.
But yeah. Like if it's racism played for comedy, then yeah, it's fine. But
yeah, I mean, because like I don't like racism either. But I mean, I have a stronger tolerance towards it. At the same time, as I do think today's society is a little too nuts with racism. Like, I mean, it's almost to the point where you can't even describe a person's ethnic background
people are a little too nuts with X. You know, just insert anything, like feminism, politics, any kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
People are insane. Like, I remember, like, I was watching The Daily Show a little while ago. And, like, apparently, people are really pissed off that Chaz Bono was on Dancing with the Stars.
Well, okay. Why?
because he's transgender.
Okay, see, I don't like him being on that show because it's called Dancing with the Stars, not Dancing with the Stars, son/daughter. Mm-hmm. And I do not mean that as like any kind of knock at him being a transgender. I could give a shit less if he's a transgender. Mm-hmm. But it's the point of he's a child. He's not even a child star. He's nothing. He's no mm-hmm. one. He's just a child of a star. He shouldn't be on the show.
Arguably two stars.
What's that?
Arguably two stars. He's the son of Cher and Sonny Bono.
Oh, I didn't know it was their kid together. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
But yeah, like it was weird. Because, like, watching The Daily Show, and, like, hearing all this shit, like, people are getting really pissed off because like, people are saying that because Chaz Bono's on the show, that ABC is now promoting a homosexual or transgender lifestyle.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, and then what happened was, the girl, this one woman on the show, she was doing the dance and, like, her nipple popped out of her dress.
Alright.
And, you know, like, the joke was, like, Jon Stewart was, like, playing up, like, oh, people are gonna freak the fuck out. It goes like a clip from Fox and Friends. of, like, everyone just kind of sitting around on their stupid couch. And it's like, oh, a little wardrobe malfunction. And then they go over to Chaz Bono and saying like, he's like, oh, it looks like he hurt his knee. Well, I guess that, you know, like, knee, that knee is like the one part of his body he hasn't had surgery on.
Yeah, that's a little distasteful, but.
Yeah, but it's Fox and Friends. You don't go to them for, like.
Yeah, hard news stories.
Or, you know, news. Or commentary or intelligence.
Because, you know, in Canada, we only have Mounties, and they're always wearing those red jackets.
Yeah.
What was that? Are you trying to break up this conversation?
Now, I'm guessing somebody on Fox and Friends once, like, there was a story about Canada. I was like, when it goes to those Mounties, I have to work it out for them, don't they know? I wouldn't doubt it if they did that.
No, Fox and Friends went on this, like, whole, like, total anti-Canada rant.
Really?
Wow, dude.
We need to do a podcast, like, on our off week or something, of just, like, off-topic
shit.
Yeah, because I want to know more about this, but I'm afraid to, like, go in-depth of it.
It was quite a while ago, so it's kind of old news.
Yeah, we can find it on the internet. Yeah, everything's on the internet, dude. That one clip of, like, a British news show where, like, there are two anchors. Like, one says, like, it's amazing how so much fuss over such a little package. And then this co-anchor's like, we didn't know all about that, would you, Tom? And that happened live on the air.
That's hilarious.
It was, like, a British woman. It was, like, a really kind of monotone, just, like, really, like, laid-back tone. It was like, what do you know about that, would you, Tom? In other news... Okay, yeah, going on, movies, what else do you watch?
So The Toy, it's funny, it's Richard Pryor, it's Jackie Gleason, they're both amazing in this together. The movie really is about teaching this young kid to how to handle having friends, being these rich handle friends. Why is that so funny?
Teaching Master Bates how to handle.
So it's just about teaching this kid how to handle, because, like, he's like a dick to Richard Pryor through, like, the first part of the movie, of course. And then, like, the whole, there's, like, tension between this kid and Jackie Gleason, who's his dad. Just, and it's kind of like Richard Pryor kind of, like, plays the referee, like, you guys need to fucking talk shit out. It's a really good movie, and it means well, and it's dated, I'll say that for it, but it's still good. And I think anyone out there, if you like the Richard Pryor's movies, like Moving and Stir Crazy and stuff like that, then you'll like this movie too. I mean, it's classic. And the other movie I've been watching, Thanksgiving for here in America is coming up here soon. So Netflix has the movie Dutch. And I remember bringing it up before, and you guys, I believe, have not seen that movie, right?
I don't think I've heard of it.
No? Bovi?
Nope.
Okay. it stars Ed O'Neill from Married with Children. This is kind of another kind of like adult and child movie. All of a sudden, I noticed a trend. So what it is Ed O'Neill, he's dating this chick whose ex-husband is filthy rich. And together they have a son that's a snobby little brat. And the kid is – well, shit. I looked him up because he looked familiar to me. And he was in movies like – he was in Vacancy. What else? He was in the movie They, the Wes Craven movie. He was also in one of the National Lampoon's Vacation movies. I think Vegas Vacation or something.
What was this movie called again?
This movie, Dutch.
Okay, looking it up.
Okay.
So, continue.
So he's dating this chick whose ex-husband's really rich. Together they had this snobby son who lives in at a private school, a ways away from home. So it's a Thanksgiving movie, you know, the mother wants the father is like, well, I'm going to be out of town, so I can't take him. But, like, the thing about this movie is, like, the father's always disappointing the child, but the child always blames the mother for it. So, like, the ma is, like, talking to Ed O'Neill, like, oh, man, he's going to hate me for this. And then Ed O'Neill's like, why? It's not your fault. You know, what his dad doesn't want anything to do with him, basically, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, but he won't want to come home for Thanksgiving. And then Ed O'Neill's like, you know what? I'm going to go pick him up. I'll drive there. I'll take a couple of days off from work because he owns, like, his own construction company. But he's, like, a blue-collar guy, but he's, you know, he – has worked his way up to owning his own construction company. So
it's a white version of Are We There Yet?
I guess. I haven't seen that movie.
It's like some guy's dating this girl, so then they have to go pick up her two kids, and then hilarity ensues. Well, quote unquote hilarity.
Yeah, that's the Ice Cube's in that movie or some shit like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is probably a better version of that movie. That's probably a complete ripoff of this, the way it sounds.
Just going on, the guy, the kid, is played by Ethan Embry.
Okay.
And he was also in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
I wonder what part did he play in that?
He played Billy Carver, who I think is one of the douchebag guys who try to pawn off all their work on Harold.
Oh, I think you're right now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Billy Carver, who's played by that guy, and then JD, the other guy, they pawn their work off on Harold, and then Harold says, fuck it.
Yeah, I remember that now, yeah. So in this movie, he's like a 12-year-old kid. Ed O'Neill goes to pick him up. The kid's like a snobby little brat to him, and comedy ensues from there, basically. And as they go on, they kind of build up a friendship. And they go through some shit, you know, like shit goes wrong, like in all of these road trip movies. And that's the other thing about this movie that I really like. It's road trip movies seem to be awesome. I mean, at least for me, like Vacation, awesome road trip movie, one of the best ever. Dutch, Trains, Planes, and Automobiles, even Due Date. I mean, all these comedy, road trip movies are just so fucking hilarious. And this one, you know, it's right up there with, you know, all the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about getting this kid home for Thanksgiving. So, like, around Thanksgiving time, I like to watch this movie, and it's on Netflix Instant. So I watched it. Good movie. You guys should check it out.
Okay. So, I have to go drop a mad deuce.
Wow.
So, Bobby, you can talk about your movies for a little while, and I'll be back in a minute.
No. That's really bad timing. I have, like, almost nothing to talk about, but I'll talk, and I'll try and fill it up.
Then when you're done, talk amongst yourselves about Captain Canada. Lieutenant Canada, I mean.
Lieutenant Canada. All right, so, movies. That's a disappointing showing. Transformers 3. I believe we've talked for about 2.5 hours about this one.
Yeah.
But I guess we could talk a little bit for those who don't want to do the commentary track.
Right.
So I guess we could talk some Transformers 3.
All right.
So we'll talk steaming pile of shit.
I want to be clear, because I remember when I talked about it, when I first seen it, the thing is I said I didn't hate it. Now, when I say I don't hate something, that means I don't hate it. You know, I didn't like it. I have no plans. I really didn't want to ever see it again, but I could have passed up, you know, an audio commentary track. Yeah. It's better than 2. That's all I can give it. Like,
yeah, I guess it is marginally better. Like, luckily, because we were doing a commentary track, when I watched it, I didn't actually have to listen to much of the dialogue because I couldn't right. really hear it. I was just listening to you guys.
Right.
So, what I can say I would watch is if you just cut all the parts with Optimus Prime together.
Yeah.
I would watch that, because I like watching Optimus Prime fuck shit up.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the... Especially with this... Like, I really hated that with the second one. You know, he was basically dead throughout the whole fucking thing. It was just retarded, but that was just...
And then he got one anticlimactic battle at the end.
Yeah. See, but, like, with Transformers 3, I mean, when he was on screen, he was fucking some shit up a lot of the times. I mean, it was really nice to see that. I mean, well, yeah, they've really gotten away from the robots in these movies. I mean, I thought with the first movie they had a good mixture of robots with the humans, and it blended together well enough to be a decent movie.
Yeah, they talk about the humans, but it's mostly to get them into the context of, okay, these humans are going to encounter robots, robots and humans interacting with them. Whereas this one, it's like, hey, there's some robots in the background, and there's all this human shit going on. Watch the human shit. Oh, yeah, by the way, Optimus Prime. Here's a bit of Optimus Prime for you. Now back to the humans.
Yeah.
And that's why the movie is, like, 2 hours and 40 minutes long.
Yeah, that's the other thing that, like, drives me nuts. It's like, that movie's way too fucking long.
And it wouldn't be too goddamn long if you just cut out some of the stupid subplot and put more fighting robots.
Yeah, like...
Or not
like
even that, more fighting robots, just less stupid subplot.
I mean, like, that whole office scene could have been completely taken out of that movie. Like, that was just absolute... They could have brought up some other shorter and more legitimate way to have... Shia LaBeouf find out what he found out by that Asian guy in that scene. Like, all that fucking...
I don't even know exactly what he found out, because I didn't really hear the dialogue, but it somehow made him go see Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Hell, they could have done it like that. I'm gonna go see Bumblebee.
Yeah, really.
There we go. Done.
Anything, really. I mean, just... It was that whole scenario was just so fucking stupid. You know, and just there's other scenes like that were just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, and like John Turturro, my man, he's a really good actor. I think like he, Jesus Christ, man, he. It's bad enough that he does Adam Sandler fucking movies, but now he's doing, you know, these. I mean, he was fine in the first Transformers movie. Again, I mean, like everyone did their part and did a good job of it in the first movie, and then the second and third one, everyone that's a human, especially the humans, were all just absolutely fucking stupid and worthless.
Oh, that was painful.
So what color is it?
It's liquid.
Oh, nice. I like it. Did you drink it?
No, fuck no, dude.
Right, I don't know why I went there.
I'm not Brazilian.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so what movie watch?
Oh, we were just talking a bit of Transformers 3, since we figured not everyone would want to listen to the commentary track. And I haven't actually watched any other movies. I've watched some TV shows, though.
Okay.
I've watched some TV shows. Ones that I've watched before, but I'm watching some very specific and very interesting stuff. I just finished season 3 of Castle.
Ooh.
What
do you think of
which,
it?
Oh my god, it's amazing. Yeah. But the way they ended season three, I was pissed.
That was, that was one where Beck got shot, right?
Yeah, spoiler alert, people.
We're already partway into season four, dude.
Yeah, well,
And there are also castle memes out there on meme base of her saying I got shot.
How are you watching these? How are you, like, doing this? I'm assuming you're catching up on past episodes. How are you doing this? Like, you don't have Netflix.
No, I don't. I'm doing it through some other completely legal means that I can't think of right now, so I won't tell you.
Oh, you have Hulu Plus. Gotcha.
Yes, he has a IP scrambler, which makes Hulu think that he's in the States.
Shit.
Because we do not have Hulu in Canada.
Do you not?
Nope.
Well, I don't fucking know what you guys have. I was trying to help.
We have the internet, and leave it at that.
Yeah. And the internet's legal?
Yeah.
So yeah, Castle. Something gets shot. Tell me more.
Yeah. Beckett, and that's how they end season three. It bugged me so much because it just seemed like everything was coming to a reasonable resolution for that episode. It's like, okay, for once they're not going to leave me totally hanging at the end of the season. And then Beckett gets shot.
I actually liked that. That was the
end. I'm like, no!
I fucking love that ending because that was actually the best season ending I've seen in a while for Castle because, like, in that season alone, I'm pretty sure they had, like, three separate times they could have ended that season. Like, yeah. Season two, there was the killer that kept calling her out by name, and, like, I was like, alright, this is awesome, it's gonna end the season. And it's like, nope, we have still about five more episodes, and it ends in, like, another, like, really kind of stupid thing of, like, Beckett likes Castle likes Beckett, but they can't be together.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck.
I do kind of dislike when they do a major story thing, but don't end the season there.
Yeah, and like another.
I absolutely agree with you there.
Yeah, and like another one. That one with like, the one where they were tracking down Hal Lockwood, and like they had that big, huge, passionate kiss in it. And then and it's like, oh god, that's so awesome. And then it's like, here's 12 more episodes.
Ignored. Until Castle brings it up again randomly.
Yeah, it's like, oh, everything goes back to normal, and all of a sudden, like, oh, no, everything got dark all of a sudden, because they're reliving that thing, and oh, I'm happy again!
Anyways, I still think that episode would have been a great end without Beckett being shot, although Beckett being shot did serve the story very well at the beginning of season four.
Yeah, that was great.
Because I am in the middle of watching season four. What episode did I just watch? I just watched episode 7.
So is that the most recent one?
I don't think so. Let me just have a quick look, see what happens in it.
Okay.
I can tell you shit about it. Oh, it's the one with the bank robbery.
Okay, yeah, that is not the most recent one.
No, I didn't think so. But it is where I just watched up to. Anyways, I just thought the spoiler alert, the ending of the episode, just even when you find out that Captain Montgomery is a part of the conspiracy for Beckett's mom's murderer and you have his whole showdown against the other guys, even that and leading up to his funeral, all of that made for a brilliant season ending.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And like they actually finally did get Castle like admit that he loves her.
Yeah, which now they're ignoring by having Kate lying about not remembering it.
Yes, and that was the meme, actually. Yeah, like it was just like this little four-panel comic thing where it's like Beckett talking to her therapist, and then like a therapist, and then it just goes down to her, and she just has the I lied face, which is just like a blue face, like a little tiny eyes, a little squirt, little like twirly mustache, like Snidely Whiplash, and like a huge ass grin. It's like I lied. Yeah, that was actually a really good thing on meme base, yeah. Okay, so yeah, Castle.
So yeah, Castle has absorbed my life for the past little while.
Yeah. What's been your favorite episode from season four?
From season four?
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably episode 7.
Bank robbery?
It was pretty cool. I'm trying to think of the other ones.
I love the superhero one, the second episode.
Oh, yes. How could I forget that one? Yeah. The superhero one. That one's fucking amazing.
Yeah, so for Shax and all you out there who don't know, in the second episode of season 4 of Castle, some guy gets cut in half, vertically in half, with a samurai sword by a guy dressed up as a superhero from a digital-only comic book.
Nice.
And, like, that's just really good.
Yeah.
It was fucking...
Fucking amazing, yeah.
I think it's gotta be like the most brutal killing they've done on that show so far. And the most interesting.
I don't know, there was a person shoved into a wall safe.
Oh yeah, that person was already dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about like in specifics of just being killed. Like the person who was shoved in the wall safe was, I think, like shot or something. This guy was cleaved in half. Like a fucking sandwich.
All right, so yeah, I guess that's got to be my favorite episode of season 4. Thank you for reminding me of it.
No problem, sir.
Another good one was the one with the Asian mob family.
Oh yeah, that one was pretty good.
That one was good. Not so, you know, just pure awesome, but it had a very good story to it.
Yeah, it's like I'm just really hoping that it'll eventually just like. At least this season, within the next couple episodes, they actually do something with 3XK.
Yeah.
Specifically, maybe change that name.
I know. Before, they were always calling them the Triple Killer. Now they're like, the Triple Killer or 3XK. It's like, no. It doesn't work.
Yeah, this is not like fucking, like, Condemned. You cannot have SKX. Which is actually a pretty good name. In the Condemned series of games, there is this guy they call Serial Killer X, or SKX, who is going around killing killers like they kill their victims.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. He's the main bad guy from the first game. Yeah. So I guess that does it for you, Bobby?
Or
you
got one? Also, one other thing. Doctor Who, the reason I'm specifically talking about it, just tonight before the podcast, I watched the first half of my favorite story arc, which is The End of Time, which would be the second appearance of Harold Saxon.
Okay. Who? Harold Saxon? That the Master?
The Master.
The Master. Yeah, The End of Time was really fucking great.
Yeah, so... For those of you who don't know, The End of Time is when, you know, one of the greatest Doctor Who villains comes back. There's this plot for... Oh, I don't want to spoil it. Spoiler alert! There's this plot for the Time Lords to return and destroy everything. And that is the actual story arc where David Tennant ends his time as the Doctor, which is unfortunate, but it is very, very well done.
Yeah, it was a great send-off.
Yes, it was. Better than Christopher Eccleston, which is like, oh, I'm going now.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah, it was actually kind of cool, like, when they actually introduced Matt Smith as the Doctor. It was just like, yeah, it's like, legs, I have legs, thank God.
Yeah, there's one thing, I know I've said it before, that I really hate about Matt Smith's time as the Doctor, is that they have completely severed ties to anything from the previous Doctors. Like, no more Captain Jack. You know, he needs an entirely new TARDIS. He needs an entirely new screwdriver. He needs this specific set of companions that he'll never replace, and he'll never interact with any of the other ones.
He replaced them.
Like, just before David Tennant leaves, there's this whole talk about, oh, Doctor, you've got such a big family. Yeah, just wait till the end of this holiday special, and then I'll never talk to them again.
Yeah, oh god. But yeah, like, Matt, who's been your favorite Doctor so far? Like, have you watched any, like, the original Doctor Who stuff?
I have watched some, not a lot, because there is a certain corniness I can't stand about it. And I'm not talking about the monsters looking fake and stuff. I mean, it's just badly filmed. If you know anything about filming, the way they do it is bad. So I watched some. Some of it I can stand watching, some of it I can't. I try. But mostly I'm just from 2005 on.
Yes, you're part of the new batch.
Yeah. So I've got three doctors to base my liking off of. So I just rank them from 1 to 3. And that goes David Tennant, Christopher Eccleston, Matt Smith.
Really? You like Christopher Eccleston better than Matt Smith?
Yep. Hmm. In fact, for a while I was convinced that Christopher Eccleston was my favorite. And then I looked at it a little harder. I'm like, nah, David Tennant's hot.
That's the entire basis for everything. Christopher Eccleston is pretty good, but David Tennant is really hot.
No, I just constantly make jokes about David Tennant being hot, so I figured I'd throw one out here.
Yeah, I actually watched some of David Tennant's work with the shit with the London, Shakespearean acting thing, when he was in Hamlet.
Yeah, that's something I'd like to check out.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually pretty good.
He should be in Macbeth. He has a very strong Scottish accent.
Yeah, he does. He could be Macduff. Is Shaq still here? Shaq, are you still here?
I'm here.
Okay.
Honestly, yeah, watching interviews with David Tennant, sometimes he's downright hard to understand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, well, that for you, Bobby, or anything else?
I think that's about it.
Okay, so I guess on to me. So, I've been watching some more Twilight Zone. Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, had I talked to you guys about One for the Angels?
Sounds familiar. Tell us again.
It's the, it's where this old guy is a pitch man. He's selling shit outside, then he goes upstairs, and he's this guy called Mr. Death hanging out in his house saying, you're gonna die tonight at midnight. And then he, convinces him to extend his life until he can make a pitch that's, the greatest pitch of all time for him.
Pitch? What kind of pitch?
Just, sell something.
Okay.
Because his entire job is he goes to a street corner, pulls out a suitcase with legs on it, then tries to sell you some bullshit.
Okay.
It's one of those guys saying, right, we got this silk. It's the finest silk in all of China. Hand-spun from spider webs by, some old ancient lady who just before she died handed this to me and said, sell this to someone in America. I'll give it to you for only $5.
Nice.
Yeah, but, what's great about this episode, what has so far made this one of my all-time favorite zones, was the ending of it. So this is spoiler territory. So what happens in it is, after he gets his extension I'm gonna make a pitch, one for the angels that they're gonna know about in heaven, I cannot die. So he's like, all right, but we're gonna have to replace you then. Then he goes, then the guy hears a crash outside. He goes outside, a little girl who he's friends with all the kids in this building. And he sees one of the little girls just outside unconscious on the ground because she got hit by a car. And Mr. Death, and the guy's saying, all right, Mr. Death, you can't take her. I was like, all right, so this little girl's gonna die at midnight. We said, the little girl, she's in her bedroom, it's 20 minutes to midnight, and so what happens is, this guy, he just pulls out his suitcase, and then starts bullshitting the pants off of Death. He sells him literally everything in his suitcase. He just hawks his bullshit for 20 minutes straight, and Death buys all of it. It's like, all right, so we got these ties, we got this robot, we got this fucking, I don't know, socks. He sells him everything in his suitcase for 20 minutes straight. He manages to fool Death long enough to let that little girl live. And to me, that was just, oh God, yes. Because I'm not sure if I made this clear, but I hate the past, kind of. So.
What do you mean you hate the past?
Well, the past kind of sucks.
You mean in general? You mean history?
No, I'm just talking about in general, from what I've known of history from the 20s to the 90s, most of that sucked.
Man.
But there is one thing I would love to be able to bring back in the 50s, and that is pitchmen. I just want to see some dude in, like, a kind of poorly tailored suit with a suitcase on legs just trying to sell you something stupid.
Dude, there's so much from the 50s that need to be brought back. Like, fedoras, first of all.
Some people still
wear a fedora.
Yeah. I mean, look at his profile picture.
Actually, fedoras made a comeback this year.
Yeah, fedoras are back. Like, I see a lot of dudes rolling around in fedoras.
But I was wearing a fedora before they came back.
Yeah, so he was hipster before it was cool to be hipster. But yeah, like, I just want that. I just want like some like kind of overweight old guy standing on a corner trying to sell me some kind of really stupid toy that was like handed to him by the president of some defunct toy company, saying it's the last of its kind. I'll sell it to you for only $5. That to me is just like, I just want that. You know, if I actually saw that, I just walk up to him and just hug him. It's like kind of walk up to him and like, welcome back.
You remember in the 50s when women knew that they belonged in the kitchen?
Oh, not cool, dude. That's a yellow card.
Over the internet high five.
But yeah, just... I want to just... But like, the ending, like the actual ending of that episode was actually kind of... Because this is like the accent of it just for the credits roll. So what happens is, the guy who's like... They're like, well, I made the pitch for Angel, so it's like... And then, like, all right, so we're leaving now? And he starts to walk away, and he's like, oh, just a second. So he goes back, locks up his suitcase, pulls the legs back in, and then starts walking. He's like, you never know, they might need something up there. Up there, right? He's like, yes, you made it. And they just walk off. So he is going to heaven to sell his bullshit to angels. And that, to me, is just like, oh, God, yes. I can just imagine, like, in like the brief seconds, like when I glance through the gates to see heaven before I'm rocketed back to hell, I'll just see like everyone in there playing with like some really stupid toy robot from the 50s, that is just like really cool to me. And there's this other episode I watched. I can't remember the name of it, but so what it is, there's this guy. He's like a hypochondriac and like a huge egotist. He thinks that he's like the greatest person in the world, and if he dies, like no one will be able to live without him. And so what happens is then the devil, who in this episode is known as Mr. Cadwallader, shows up and offers him a deal. He offers him immortality and indestructibility for his soul, but he also offers him an escape clause. He says, like, if at any time you get bored of being immortal, then use the escape clause and you will die. And so what this guy does then is just starts literally trying to kill himself. He, like, throws himself in front of buses, in front of trains. He, like, jumps off buildings. He drinks poison. But, like, since there is no danger in it anymore, nothing can thrill him. So he's, like, just bored.
Sounds like Groundhog's Day a little bit.
Kind of, but, like, each day, like, the days go by. Like, he actually knows time is progressing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then what happens is he kills his wife.
Wow, Jesus.
He drops her off a building that he was trying to jump off of. And so then he's just standing out there. It's like, huh. Maybe the electrical chair will be exciting. So then he goes, calls the cops, and then gets, like... And then accused... And then, like, admits to the murder. But then his defense attorney manages to just get him life imprisonment.
Oh.
Yeah, so an immortal sentenced to life imprisonment.
That's... Oh, Twilight Zone.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I remember what the episode's called now. It's called Escape Clause.
Nice.
Yes, and so then he like, says, Cadwallader, I don't want any more. I'm using the Escape Clause. Like, well, Mr. Bedeker, it seems you look like a man having a heart attack. And then he just falls over dead. And then you just hear Cadwallader just laughing his ass off in the background. And that is I fucking love that episode, man. It's really good. Yeah, and... See,
what I would do in a situation is break out of prison. What are they going to do? Shoot me?
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And then I also watched Nightmare at 20,000 Feet.
Oh, yeah. That is the classic.
There's something on the wing. Some. Thing.
I've never seen that version of it, but yeah, man, John Lithgow, awesome.
Yeah, this one it's William Shatner.
I actually had the Twilight Zone the movie sitting here from fucking Netflix. I gotta watch it.
I have the Twilight Zone the movie paused on DLC Media Player right now.
Nice.
Yes, and so I will. So I guess I'll get into that. So far I have watched the opening segment with Dan Aykroyd and Albert Brooks, and the first scene in it.
Is that the scene where I think Dan Aykroyd is like, you want to see something scary?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the opening scene. And then the first scene is more of the guys in the bar saying, it's like, oh, they gave my job to some Jew. I got black people living on my street. Like, I was in the Vietnam War, and now those people are own my house.
Go ahead.
And then he starts, like, jumping through time.
Yeah, that story of the Twilight Zone, the movie. Oh God, what's his name? What's that guy's name? Something to start with a V. No.
I'll look it up.
Okay. I was gonna do it right now. Anyways, that scene. There's a scene in that where he is running with two children, and they die in real life during that scene. Yeah, they died in real life filming that scene. I don't know why you're laughing at that.
It sounds hilarious to me. Yeah, okay.
They died in real life.
Vic Morrow.
Pretty horribly, too. Vic Morrow, yeah. Him and the two children, they were filming a scene. Did you watch that whole thing yet? That whole part of that movie?
Yeah, I watched the whole scene. I'm on to Kick the Can.
Okay, there's the part where there's a helicopter that's crashing into, I think, the water or something. They might have cut that whole part out of the movie, actually. I'm not sure.
They did.
Okay, because there's a part – you can find the footage on the internet crashes.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Wikipedia thing right now. It's like, during the filming of the Time Out segment directed by John Landis on July 23rd, 1982 at around 2:30 a.m., actor Vic Morrow and child actors Micah Dinley and Renee Xinyi Chen died in an accident involving a helicopter being used on set.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know, like, that is, like, tragic and shit. Like, it sucks that kids died at such young ages, but still, it just kind of sounds... I kind of can't help but laugh at that.
You are dark.
Yes, I am. Dude, I'm called Dead Man. What the fuck do you expect? I sold my soul in high school for one golden Oreo cakester. Literally.
And now look at you.
Yes, now look at me. I run a website.
Sorry, I totally could have outbid that.
you could have outbid my soul for that Oreo cakester.
I lived across the street from the high school with a barbecue.
Yeah, but a barbecue
cooked burger sound.
Yeah, but that doesn't. Yeah, but that isn't nearly as enticing as a soul. You know, burgers last however long it takes you to eat it and then shit it out. A soul lasts forever.
But I could have bought your soul. I could have offered you something better for your soul.
Oh, yeah, I could have.
Then I would own a soul because I don't own mine.
Yeah, the guy I sold it to. I think he has like five souls now.
Who was it?
Former site contributor Donny Grimm.
Huh.
So, well, yeah, and just well, the kind of reason that I'm about the whole Twilight Zone movie thing is that first segment. That bit with Dan Aykroyd and Albert Brooks.
As a kid, that scared the shit out of me.
It was just, it just didn't seem right to me. It didn't feel like a Twilight Zone. It felt like something from like maybe like Outer Limits or something.
Well, was it really even a thing? Was it? I mean, wasn't it just like a short like 5 minute part?
Yeah, it was, but it was in a movie called Twilight Zone, the movie.
Oh.
Right. Yeah, it was just like, so what happens in this scene is Albert Brooks and Dan Aykroyd, they're driving along a dark road at night. And then they just start playing this game where Albert's like, hey, you want to see something scary? And then he just turns his lights off. And they, like, drive along. They're playing this game, Chicken or something. It's like, right, so we just see how long we drive along before one of the things makes light turn back on. It's like, oh, we can do this. And they start playing the name that theme song game. And they get to the Twilight Zone. And they start debating what was part of Twilight Zone and what was part of Outer Limits. And then Dan Aykroyd's like, hey, you want to see something really scary? And then he gets out Rook's pullover, and he's like, all right, one second. Then he turns away from the camera, and he's like, hey, man, what is it? Like, goes back to him, he's still turning away from the camera, and it's like, well, what is it? And he turns back around, and all of a sudden he's a monster. And then he attacks him. And then the Twilight Zone theme song starts. And that, to me, leading up to that, that felt like a Twilight Zone episode. It felt like something that belonged in Twilight Zone. But then as soon as they got to the part where he turned into a monster... And, like, especially, like, an 80s-style zombie monster. That, to me, just kind of, all right, yeah, that's pretty good. Oh.
Just talking about that makes me not want to watch the movie that kind of... Like, as a child, that scared the shit out of me. Like, that stayed with me my entire life. That's one of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those things where, like... Like one of their friends is like, hey, I got something to show you. You're like, oh, fuck no. Yeah, but like, it was a cool scene, but it wasn't a Twilight Zone scene to me.
Well, yeah, and like, you're watching it for the first time now.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it for the first time when I was like 8 or 9 years old or something like
that. Yeah, again, like that's like kind of the thing we talk about for setting standards.
Right.
For me, the Twilight Zone is more subtle.
Yeah.
You know, if they had done something where, I got scary. And I was like, all right, just pull over. And it, like, kind of, it, like, pulls out of the car. And all of a sudden, you just hear a scream coming from the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, or just, like, or, like, what happens is, like, it pulls over the car, and then you just hear nothing for a couple seconds. Like, the car just shuts off, there's no lights or anything. And there's just nothing, just silence. And all of a sudden the car starts up again, driving away, and Dan Aykroyd is the only one in the car.
Yeah.
It'd be something like that. Like, that would feel like a Twilight Zone to me. But just go away for a second. Oh, God, I'm a scary old man. No.
Yeah,
and so we're just getting into that first scene. Actually did like that one. That was actually kind of cool to me. You're just seeing this guy, like, this fucking bigoted asshole just get royally fucked.
Yeah.
So what happens in the first segment is, like, this guy, he goes to meet his buddies at a work, at bar after work, and he just starts railing on Jews and black people and Asians.
Yeah.
And then he leaves the bar, and he's in 1942 Germany. And then, like, the Nazis are hunting him, they shoot him in the arm. Oh, no, they're not in Germany, they're in France. Yeah, so they shoot him, and then he's, like, running along, and he's, like, running away, and all of a sudden he's in, like, the deep south, and then there's a bunch of the Benjamin members of the Ku Klux Klan calling him the stereotype, like, the thing for black people that I will not say because I do not want to get sued.
Do you want me to say it for you?
No, they don't know what I'm talking about.
All right.
But yeah, it's like, oh, that's like, I ain't one of those, like, I'm a white guy. And then, like, they're gonna hang him, but then he just kicks one of them into, like, a fucking... He kicks one of them into a, like... He kicks one of them into the burning cross, and he goes, like, into the lake to hide from him, and then he wakes up in Vietnam. Which I'm guessing would be where the helicopter crash happened.
I believe so.
Yeah.
You guys should Google that footage, yeah. Later on.
Yeah, and then he goes back to, like... And then he goes back to Germany, where he's given, like, one of the Jewish stars, and then gets put on a train... We take him to one of the death camps, and then while he's doing that, he, like, looks at the train, he sees the bar, and his friend's coming out of the bar. He's just, like, reaching out, screaming at the top of his lungs, help me, I'm here, help me. But they don't hear him, and don't see him. And that one actually was kind of cool for me. Okay, so, what else did I watch? Oh, Critters. Have either of you guys ever heard of Critters?
Yeah. I'm sure I've seen it. I just don't really remember.
Yes,
bounty hunters, and they come after these two little like gremlin, like furry gremlins.
Yes, it is like essentially what if like that what if that one episode of Star Wars with the Tribbles got horribly violent? Yeah, so what it is there's this like prison transport that's like taking the crates back to like a prison planet, but then the crates escape. And they go to Earth. And then a couple of bounty hunters are after them. One of them disguises himself as an as a fake 80s rock star. The other one just like kind of...
Yeah.
And the other one just kind of jumps back and forth between people. And then what it is just this family who are trying to survive the attack from these things which they call critters, which are just like these little furry things. Like, I think the biggest one they have in there was like 3 feet tall.
Hmm.
And so what they do is they like they're kind of small. They roll up into balls and like roll at you. They shoot pins out of their backs that paralyze you, and they will eat everything in sight.
Yeah.
So they're Sonic the Hedgehog.
Kind of. Yeah.
This might be before Sonic the Hedgehog. Actually, I think at least the first one.
I think the first one came out like 86.
Yeah. I remember being very young watching it.
Yeah. Actually, I have it right here. Just let me pull up the actual date. Okay, no, I don't have the date. Never mind. But yeah, I think it's 86. Yeah, and there were four movies in this series. Went from when the first one came out to 1991, when the last one came out.
Wow.
Yeah, and yeah, Critter still holds up for me. Billy Zane is in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He plays the guy from New York who's like the main family daughter is trying to fuck. And I mean, she goes at him with a gusto. She just like, she wants Billy Zane to fuck her senseless. But he doesn't want to because, you know, it's in the country and he's afraid that the dad will find out and shoot his balls off the shotgun. Because it's likely. So, fuck, what else I watch? I watched Tangled again.
Again?
Awesome.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's really good.
I would watch it again.
Yeah, it's really fucking good. And, like, watching it a second time, there's something I noticed. So, this is spoilers for ending of Tangled. But, yeah, so...
Disney princess, dude. Happily Ever After is the ending. Everybody knows it.
Well, yeah, I know, but just, like, in the beginning, when they first have that, when they first show, like, the scene of the tower, the color palette is really bright. They're like... Like, the grass is just, like, popping out at you. Everything's all bright and shit. And it all looks, like, really happy. But then they get to the ending where, you know, Rapunzel's tied up and then fucking Flynn Rider gets stabbed. And I'm not talking about just, like, off-camera kind of thing. Like, it didn't happen off-camera, but then it goes... You see the blood pouring out of this wound. And like, the color palette for that thing, everything is washed out. You know, colors just, like... Everything has been, like, dropped down on the color scale by, like, I don't know, 5 or something? I don't fucking know, but it all looks dark and grungy as fuck. And I fucking like that. You know, just, like, the world mimicking the emotions going on in that scene with just the color palette. Bofi, you're saying something?
I believe there's... phrase for that, but anyways.
Yeah, there is a phrase for that. I just don't know what it is.
I'm not sure if that's exactly pathetic fallacy. I think it might be though.
Yes, it is. It's like the world mimicking the emotion of the characters.
Yeah. So yeah, that'd be pathetic fallacy.
Okay.
Phallus.
Penis. Okay. What else I watched? I watched Sherlock. This is the BBC miniseries from last year. It was 3 episodes. It was just like, it was a retelling, it was like a reimagining of Sherlock Holmes. And it was modern day and it was fucking awesome.
Do you remember, it would have been around the time we were kids, a certain cartoon called Sherlock Holmes
in the 22nd century.
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
Stereo.
Yeah, that was just fucking insane, dude. But like this one, is Sherlock Holmes in the 21st century. But it's not like they got displaced from time. It's like John Watson and Sherlock Holmes live in the 21st century as, you know, 21st century people. And it's actually kind of cool because this is more of a, it's like if it's kind of like if the Sherlock Holmes that Robert Downey Jr. played get kind of amped up in the sociopath department.
Okay.
Because there is actually one line in this thing where it's like, where like someone calls Sherlock Holmes a psychopath. It's like that's not true. I'm a highly functioning sociopath. Do your research. And it is really good. Because like the first episode, there's this, like this string of suicides. But no one's, like, Sherlock Holmes is convinced they aren't suicides. And so when, like, Lestrade is giving his, like, presentation, giving his press, press thing to the, asked for the press, every once in a while, like, he'd say something, and then every single person's phone in the room would go off, and every single one of them would have a text saying wrong. Yeah, so just, like, Sherlock, he wasn't even in the room, but he was still hearing this thing. And just, like, text every single person in that room at the exact same time. Just, wrong, wrong, wrong. And Watson in this universe, like, in, like, a lot of the Sherlock Holmes things, Watson has been just, like, this bumbling sidekick who's just, like, my word, Holmes, you're brilliant every once in a while. And basically, there for, like, comic foil. But in this one, he's just kind of, like, he's just like a war-hardened soldier, veteran, like guy who just is just kind of there to tolerate Holmes's bullshit to get some piece of action again because he kind of misses being in Afghanistan. And yeah, it's got Benedict Cumberbatch, who I've never heard of before, as a Sherlock, and Martin Freeman. No relation.
What name is that?
It's a British name.
I'm talking about the first guy that you mentioned.
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch. It's a British name.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Not much for stage names, I guess.
Well, yeah, dude, if you're British and you have a name, if you're British and you have the name Benedict Cumberbatch, you're not going to use a fucking stage name. I'm surprised I didn't say Benedict Cumberbatch the Fifth or something. Esquire. Sir Benedict Cumberbatch the Fifth, Esquire. Attorney at law, I don't fucking know. But yeah, it is actually really cool. Like their depiction of Sherlock Holmes, their depiction of Watson, that's awesome. And Moriarty, he's in there for like 5 minutes at the end of the last episode, and he's actually kind of cool. I actually really like Moriarty. So yeah, Sherlock is actually really good. Sherlock is really good. It's 3 episodes, they're each an hour and a half. Check it out.
I think it's on Netflix.
Yes, it is. That's where I watched it.
Oh, you have, wait.
I stole someone's Netflix.
Oh, yeah, I remember you saying that. Yep.
Yes, I stole the, yes, this Netflix that I'm using is He Who Should Not Be Named Stepdad. Yeah, okay, fuck, what else I watch? Ooh, Misfits.
What is that?
So Misfits is a British TV series. It's a British superhero series. So what it is there's a group of, like, five young offenders. They're kids, like, well, not really kids, like 19, 20-year-olds who are doing community service for, like, various crimes amongst themselves.
And is anyone in Britain not a criminal?
The Doctor? The Queen?
Okay. I meant, like, TV and movie-wise. Like,
I'm sorry, did you just say the Queen? Did you really just say the Queen is not a criminal?
Oh, John Watson is... John Watson isn't a criminal. Neither is Sherlock Holmes. He is the world's only consulting detective.
I think you're dodging Bobby's question.
Well, I don't know anything about the Queen. All I know is she's old and British.
And a werewolf.
And she has a fancy hat.
She can only be killed by silver bullets.
Yes. That is a Doctor Who joke, by the way.
That's probably why I didn't get it.
Well, yeah, so the Misfits, there's five kids, they're like young offenders, they're doing their community service, and this really freak lightning hailstorm happens, and they all get struck by lightning and survive, and because of that, they all get superpowers.
Okay, kids, so go golfing in a thunderstorm, you just might get some superpowers.
Uh-huh. You know what? British kids might just be stupid enough to try it.
So the original five kids, one of them had the ability to read minds, one could turn invisible, one was immortal, one could like rewind time, and the other one caused anyone she touched to get insanely horny.
as much as a
useful
like
power.
I like that one, but
robbing that bank or what? Touch. Oh God, I want you.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. Just like any person who like skin to skin contact, they just like all of a sudden just start like oh God, I want to fuck you so bad.
Is it they want to fuck her or just anyone?
Fuck her specifically.
Shit. Because like I'd love to be her friend and be like, hey, go touch that chick for me.
Yeah, and then yes,
Jax, it doesn't. Her ability doesn't work on women, so wouldn't you still?
No, it does work on women. Her ability does work on women.
Yeah, so wouldn't you still want your friend to do that?
Yeah. Well, yes.
It's not really helping me out, but it would be fun to watch.
Well, yeah. So then, like those, so, like at some point, they all sell their power for like $20,000, but the immortal kid sells us for only $2,000. But then they manage to buy their powers back. But they buy different powers, and so the immortal kid, yeah, like there's a guy who's the power dealer essentially. He has the ability to take and give powers to people.
How does he even get introduced to this? I mean, where did he come from?
What, the power dealer guy?
Yeah.
What happened was he got struck by lightning, and they got okay. A superpower. He was a drug dealer in real life. He was a drug dealer in his life, so then he got the ability to exchange powers between people.
So was he part of that? Their little group?
No, he was not. Like this storm like swept over the entire city.
Uh huh.
Like dozens of people were struck by lightning.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and all of them got different powers. Like there's one guy who like, and it's weird because like all their powers were based off of some aspect of their personality or their life. So this one kid, he spent all his time with milk. Essentially his job was like to pour milk into people's tea at his old age home. So that when he got struck by lightning, he got the ability to control milk with his mind.
Oh my God! Like, could he make it so like Hydro Man kind of thing?
He couldn't turn himself into milk.
No, okay, but like, could he have like a cup of milk and make that expand into like a tidal wave of milk?
No, he couldn't do that. He couldn't make more milk from a single. If he had a cup of milk, he couldn't make more milk from that.
Could he make the milk turn into a little milk monster? Like, made out of milk, like, liquidy and everything, but just had a form of shape.
Probably. But what he seems to do is, like, people, they eat milk. He can control pretty much any dairy product. And so what he did was he would take the dairy product that were in people's stomachs and then use it to kill them.
Oh, no. Oh, I knew you were going to go there.
He lobotomized someone with the cheese that they ate a couple hours ago.
I am immune to your powers because I am lactose intolerant.
Yes, that happens.
Throw some milk at you.
That happens.
Oh, damn it.
Yes, that happens. Yo, bitch, I'm lactose intolerant. So he just pulls out a knife.
But yeah, I would try throwing milk at the person.
But then he ends up stabbing the invisible guy. But then the guy who is lactose intolerant can rewind time. So then he rewinds time back before everyone knew about their powers. Because like what happened in this episode was the kid with the milk ability, revealed his powers to the world, and then everyone else started to reveal their powers, and then this kid kind of got left by the sideways, because like there's a person down here who can rewind time and who's immortal. You can control milk, and so then he got like really fucking pissed off and then started killing everyone else with powers because of milk. But then this guy rewinds time before he revealed his powers. Then all five of them go find him and kill him. Because these are fucking serious superheroes. They've killed two probation workers. Two of their own probation workers.
Oh.
Well, yeah. So then what happened? Yeah. So then back to what I was talking about. So each person's power is based on some aspect of their personality. So the girl who got telepathy. People were constantly judging her. They were constantly considering her like a chav, which is, I guess, like a slang term for like someone like, I guess, like some like derogatory term for a certain kind of person in England. So then, anytime anybody was judging her, she was able to hear their thoughts. This one kid was like ignored constantly, so he turned invisible. The guy who could turn back time was like his Like he like there was this one moment that he like regretted more than ever, and he wanted to go back and change it. So his power was then given to him that so that anytime he felt any amount of regret or anything, he would rewind time.
I would like it better if his character was like, "Oh man, if I just had 5 more minutes."
Yeah, that'd be kind of something like that. Well, and then the immortal guy.
And then the class slut.
Yeah. So the class slut. Yeah, she was just a whore. So then she got the ability to make everyone around her super horny.
Was she hot?
Yeah.
So why does she need that superpower then?
She didn't need that power. It was just based on some aspect of her life, and a big part of her life was fucking.
They should have just made it so like her superpower was to not get pregnant or get diseases or something.
They have to have a power that affects other people in some way, I guess.
I am immune to your AIDS.
Yeah, that'd be such a better power. I mean, if you're a hot chick, you're going to fuck anyone you want anyway, basically.
But yeah, then the immortal guy. So basically he made fun of everybody, and like anytime anybody made fun of him, he would just kind of like, bounce off of him. So then because of that, he was made immortal. Yes, people couldn't make fun of him, and that translates to immortality.
And okay. Yet, working in an elderly home, adding milk to tea, gives you milk powers. Because, you know, that's everything about your life.
It was everything about his life, because, like, it showed, like a little cross-section of his life. Everything. It was just milk, milk, milk.
How so? I mean, like, it seemed like that's like, after job?
Like, all he drank was tea with milk. All he ate was cereal with a hell of milk. He drank milk straight out the carton. He collected milk bottles.
I guess.
Well, yeah, and so then all they get rid of their powers, and then they get new powers. The immortal guy got the ability to, like, warp reality, essentially making him magic.
Is this a movie or a TV show?
It's a TV series.
TV, okay.
Yeah, the telepath became a rocket scientist.
Do they just get bored of their powers?
No. Like what happened was like they thought that without their powers that they would be able to live happier lives. Because within their lives they have people trying to kill them. They killed like 3 people. And they thought their lives were shit. So they think like, all right, we'll get rid of our powers. We'll have better lives.
But they were already in community service.
They just finished their community service when they decided to sell their powers.
But I mean, their life was obviously already shit to get into a situation where they had community service.
Wasn't really like that. I don't fucking know. Okay. Well, yeah, they thought their lives would be better without powers. But then the guy who could turn back time's girlfriend gets killed, and they realize that they could have saved her if they still had their powers. So then they go back to get different powers. Immortal guy got reality manipulation. Telepath got rocket scientist. The hyper slut got the ability to see through other people's eyes. The running guy got the ability to turn to a woman.
What is that?
He said, yeah, like, his explanation was, everyone else went before me, that was all he had left.
I would have stuck with not getting superpowers then.
And then the guy
would be like, "All right, I'll wait till you get a new batch of stuff."
And then the guy who was invisible got the ability to see into the future.
All right, that's cool.
So then, with the most recent season, So with the most recent season, the guy who could manipulate reality, he got arrested in Vegas. So they replaced him with a different guy, who has the ability to, whenever he gets like emotionally stressed, a clone of himself pops out and is then insanely honest about all his feelings.
Like multiple man, kinda?
No, kind of like multiple man, but he's only been able to make one of himself.
Oh, damn. Mm-hmm. Multiple man, now that's a superpower I always wanted.
Yeah, multiple man's kinda cool.
Fuck yeah.
Why do I get the feeling that one girl's who's changed powers now still just gonna use it for fucking? Like, just... while having sex, looking through the guy's eyes. Yeah, damn, I'm hot.
No, like right now she's in a committed relationship with the guy who can see into the future.
You know what? The dude that can turn into a chick should talk to the guy that can see into the future and be like, "So, do I get a new power later down the road?" And if that guy says no, he should just shoot himself in the head now.
No, his power actually works pretty... He actually uses power pretty well. Like, he's able to escape from the cops with it.
Like, woo, what do you mean? Like, hey, like, I checked like, my boobies.
No, like, the
cops are chasing him, then he's a woman. You know? Not chasing a woman.
Yeah. He also uses it to get into a lesbian relationship.
I can see some, maybe I underestimated that power.
Yeah, like, what happened was, like, this guy, he was like a runner. He was on the fast track to the Olympics, but then he got found with some cocaine on him. And then he got, like, banned from sports for 2 years. And so, but he wanted to keep running. So then he looked at, he saw a poster, it's like, women's track and field meet. Hey, turns into a chick. And then goes, does the run thing, and then meets this girl, then has a lesbian relationship, then finds out, like, then meets her later as himself, like, as a guy, then meets her again as the girl, and then realizes that he is shit in bed. And then starts like dating her as a chick, and then they have sex and they have women's sex, like lady lesbian sex, and he learns like treat women better in bed or some bullshit. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, like the show is actually really good, and it is really kind of violent. Like the first guy they kill, they beat his skull in with a can of paint.
Jesus.
And he's their probation worker.
Yo, I'm starting to notice a pattern of you really liking the very violent stuff. I mean,
yeah,
so far you've recommended a very violent comic book to me, a very violent anime to me, and a very, very violent TV show to me.
Well, it isn't very, very violent. Like, there is violence in it, and there is like a decent amount of like blood and stuff in it, but it's not like every episode. You know, like every couple episodes, they'll have like some guy get stabbed. Or like the first episode, the guy gets his head beaten in with a can of paint. Then four episodes later, a woman accidentally gets her head smashed, knocked into a door. And then her body's put in a freezer. Where the guy occasionally goes in to eat ice cream sandwiches while staring at her dead body.
That's creepy.
Yes, it is. But yeah, the show's actually really good, and it's really funny too.
I am actually kind of intrigued by this.
It is a darker sense of humor than it's a dark sense of humor, but it's really funny actually. There's also a decent amount of sex.
It's from the UK. That's what's
like it is from the UK, but it is easily understandable. People like the main guy for the first two seasons, he is essentially speaking like Western. He sounds like he's from the North America. He sounds like he's from North America, but spent like a couple years in England.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, maybe he did.
No, he's
maybe the actor.
He's Irish.
Oh. Okay.
Yes, he was also in Season of the Witch with Nicolas Cage.
I have that on my next Netflix since the queue.
He's also in the upcoming movie Killing Bono.
Someone gonna kill Bono? I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Well, the show is really good. I cannot recommend it enough.
Yeah, it actually it sounds kind of interesting. It sounds like there's some loopholes, but
yeah. And what's good about it is like the seasons are only like 7 episodes long.
How long are the episodes? An hour?
Like yeah, an hour long. Mm. Yeah, it's like between 45 and an hour.
Oh, hey, you know what? I just thought about this. I'm sorry. Just real quick, I want to say that I started watching the show Reaper. I've only watched the first episode, though.
Huh.
We talked about.
What do you think of it?
It's okay. I like the three main dudes in it. The main guy himself, who's also on a couple other – or was on a couple of different TV shows like Grounded for Life and I think The Loop or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got your dude from Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Tyler Levine. Right? Tyler Levine.
Yeah, and then you got the dude that played a Spanish in Old School.
Yeah.
It's decent. Yeah. I'm interested in to keep watching, but like I said, I've only watched the first episode.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, the final thing I watched. Wait, no, not the final thing. So, one thing I watched, Grimm. Watched some more of that. So, Grimm.
Is that like Grimm Fairy Tales?
No, it's like the cop procedural show that involves fairy tale characters.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, not like actual fairy tale characters, but like fairy tale kind of monsters. Like, there's the Big Bad Wolf in one of, like, the first episode's about the Big Bad Wolf.
Alright.
The second episode is...
Is it cartoon or live action?
It's live action. Hmm. Then there's one episode where, like a bunch of women are being killed by, like, bee people. The second episode's about the Goldilocks and three bears.
Are they trying to find out who ate the porridge?
No, what happens is this couple, they're like a couple of transient kind of people. They break into this house and start like drinking their wine and like fucking around with their house and stuff. And then the bears come back and kill them.
Good God.
And so
they'll fuck around.
Yeah, and so then the cop, the Grim, is trying to figure out they didn't really kill them, like they think they killed them, but like he's just trying to figure out what actually happened and like what they are and how to deal with them.
Right.
But here's the weird thing. So the idea of the Grimms is that they have this kind of special power which lets them see the kind of fairy tale creatures as they actually are. Like, they can disguise themselves as humans, but then every once in a while, like, some aspect of, like, their true nature will, like, peep out. Like, the big bad wolf, every once in a while, like, his, like, he'll grow hair all over his face, his ears will go huge pointy and stuff. The bee people, they'll occasionally, like, grow bee eyes and get, like, little pincer things out. But normal people aren't supposed to be able to see this. So there's this one bit in the bear episode where, like, three guys who are all bared out are, like, running through the woods chasing after these kids. And going like, oh, doing bear motions and kind of thing. So I'm just wondering, do those people, like, do the regular people see those people as the bears, or do they just see them as three dudes running through the woods going, rrrr?
It'd be interesting if they showed a shot like that. It would make a good, you know, little comedic break. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's weird. They all have really weird names. Like, the big bad wolves are called the Blutbod. The bears are called the Jaeger Bar. It's really weird. But, yeah, I kind of like it. Like, I thought it was British, but it is not. It is American. It's ABC.
Man, didn't we talk about this on the last episode? Because I thought it was something else.
I was talking about Once Upon a Time, and then there was, like, this other, and then you were like, it kind of sounds like that show where, like, they got that guy that played Superman.
Yeah.
But the guy, he does look like the guy who plays Superman, but it is not the guy who plays Superman.
Okay,
He just looks a lot like him.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that show out.
Yeah, it's not terrible. So, what else? I watched some more Once Upon a Time. That's getting kind of cool. It's introducing more fairy tale characters they now have in it, they got Rapunzel, like Prince Charming was in a coma for a while, but then he woke up. We learn like actually how the queen, like evil queen, actually enact like did the curse thing, and like spoiler alert, she killed her father, and cut out his heart.
That whore.
And then burnt it.
Good God.
Yeah, and then like the most recent episode was Cinderella, like in the fairy tale world, she made a deal with Rumpelstiltskin to like what happened was Cinderella, she's like doing her thing, like, oh, I want to go to the ball so bad. And then her fairy godmother shows up, then Rumpelstiltskin kills her and takes her wand. And so then she makes a deal with Rumpelstiltskin for like, all right, so I want to go to the ball, I want to do all this shit. And it's like, right, so but if you do this, I get something in return, and I name my price. And so then she goes there and gets happy, they're all married and shit, and then Rumpelstiltskin shows back up and he says, I want your firstborn baby. And then in the real world, what's happening is Rumpelstiltskin, who in this universe is known as the pawnbroker Mr. Gold, is trying to get this girl called Cindy, who sold her baby to him. Yes, like she was knocked up, and then her boyfriend dumped her because her dad was an asshole, and so then she didn't want to keep it. So then she like went to Mr. Gold, who said like all right, I found someone who's willing to like take your baby for you, and here's the money they're giving you. And yeah, the show is still really good. I really like that show. Jennifer Morrison, I really like her as the lead. She's got a nice chemistry with the kid Henry. They've got the Jennifer, whatever her name is, who's playing the evil queen, is like just bitchy enough to be evil. And yeah, it is really good. Okay, and now finally, How I Met Your Mother. Yeah, I know what you're thinking.
Patrick Harris.
I know what you're thinking, but this episode I'm going to talk about is one of the most emotionally destructive for Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah?
Yeah, so like what happens is there's always been this thing going on between Neil Patrick Harris' character and Robin, the Canadian one of the cast and the group. They belong together, but they're never actually like willing to admit it to each other. And so now they're both in relationships. Robin is in a relationship with Cal Penn, also known as Kumar. And then Barney is in a relationship with this woman who's like just some kind of thing. But then Barney and Robin sleep together, and then they decide to tell like their respective partners that they cheated on them, and then get together. Like, be together. Like they decided that they're in love with each other and they want to be together. So then Barney admits, like, all right, so I cheated on you and I'm in love with this girl. And then he goes to the bar where they always meet, and it's like waiting for Robin to show up so they can be together. But then she comes back with her boyfriend. And so then Barney says, like, well, Robin's like, what? And then she just shakes her head and like saying no. And all of a sudden everything just freezes for him. It's like there's always that one, like, and then the voiceover from Bob Saget. It's like everyone, like, for some people, there's just like that one moment in time that just never seems to end. For Barney, this was that moment. Everything just frozen. He just like on the brink of like breaking into tears, like trying his best to hold it back. It was really good. And the next episode, Ted and Marshall, who is played by Jason Segel, they get high at a concert on sandwiches, because in this universe, sandwiches are code for marijuana.
Wait, sandwiches are code for marijuana?
Yes. Yeah, like
they just call marijuana sandwiches?
No, like this guy is explaining. This guy's like telling this guy's telling the story to his kids, and so he doesn't want his kids to know that he did weed. So every time they do every time he's going to say, yeah. So me and Marshall got high off weed. It's like me and Marshall got high off sandwiches.
If he's already saying that they got high, why not say that it's weed? I mean, he's already made
Well, they're kind of like skirting around the idea of him. They're kind of like skirting around the notion of him being high. It's like, all right, so I met this guy Raul, and he gave me this awesome bag of really fresh sandwiches. Yes, then he just reaches into his pocket and just pulls out like a Ziploc bag of like two meatball subs. Yeah, so they eat sandwiches, and then they get really high, and they're trying to find the nacho line, and they keep getting into the line for a woman's bathroom. And I think they keep going around. There's like this creepy guitar guy following them and staring at them. And then I think they've been walking around there for like 2 hours missing the entire concert, but they've only been out there for 2 minutes. And Marshall the entire time's like wrestling with the idea of him being whether or not he'll be a good father. Because his wife is pregnant. But yeah, How I Met Your Mother has gotten really good. It's getting it. I think this is like the second last season. They only have one more season after this, I think.
Ooh, what do you mean? Like, for sure? Like, they said they're going to be done?
Yeah, like, I think so. Like, I saw a meme on thing. It's like, I don't know what, like, it was like, one of those, like, Dos Equis guys, like, most interesting man. It's like, I don't always tell my kids How I Met Their Mother, but when I do, it takes me 8 seasons. And they are currently on season 7. And in 2012, the show's going to go on hiatus. During which, by the way, Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog 2 will start filming.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, and so I'm guessing like, at the end of this season, we're going to find out who Barney actually ends up with. Because like, throughout the season, Ted mentions that he met the mother at a wedding. And so last season, we found out this wedding was Barney's wedding. And now this season is going to end with us finding out who Barney is marrying. And so, yeah, this season's gonna get good, son.
So, at what point does the main character turn into Bob Saget?
After 2021.
Okay.
Yeah, like the actual story, like he, like the guy who's telling this story, Bob Saget, is taking place in the year 2030.
I see.
So there's a 9-year window for him to turn from Josh Radnor into Bob Saget. I'm guessing it happens around, like, 2027.
Right on.
And that's just guessing. you know, nothing to base that on. I'm just guessing. You know, over under on when he turns into an ad, over under when he turns into Bob Saget. I'm going with 27. I'm going with 2027. Okay, I guess I could do it for what we watched. On to some news.
All right.
Okay, so first up, do either of you guys watch Chuck?
No.
No.
Okay, well the main lady of that show, Yvonne Strahovski, who is a Australian actress who was the model and voice of Miranda from Mass Effect 2.
Oh, Miranda's fucking smoking.
Yes, so she is going to be in a final negotiations to join the movie I, Frankenstein. It's an action monster film starring Aaron Eckhart.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just looking at here. The movie is based off a comic by this guy called Kevin Gravely, who I have no idea who he is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of all we got. So she's going to be in a movie. She's going to be playing the female lead, who is a scientist trying to reanimate the dead, and that gets tricked into creating a army of undead for demons.
Hmm.
So yeah, could be kind of cool. What do you guys think?
Sounds kind of interesting, I guess.
Could be good.
Probably won't.
Yeah, I'm saying it has the potential to go either way, mm-hmm. and a lot of things with that potential don't go the right way.
Yes. Yes. For example, our next story. Do you guys remember the video game Rampage?
Oh, God.
Hell yeah.
They're making it into a movie.
I still have one of those games.
I still have nightmares about trying to play the game.
Well, wait, yes. It's a parody of monster movies, and then they're going to make it into a monster movie.
Yep. And it's being produced by the guy who also produced Nightmare on Elm Street, Final Destination, and The Horrible Bosses.
Oh, I don't like this. This does not sound good.
Yeah, it's being produced by. It's also being produced by New Line Cinemas.
But this is one of those movies I'm gonna watch no matter how bad it is.
Yes. So in like I don't know, fucking like 2013, expect our commentary for Rampage.
So I'll have two things going at once. I'll be watching Rampage and playing Rampage.
Yeah. So moving on from potentially disastrous news to definitely disastrous news. Kristen Stewart has been offered a part in Akira.
Who is she?
Twilight.
Yes. So no one's realized that she's a horrible actress yet?
Nope.
All right.
She has been offered the role of Kai Reed, who is the love interest and like cohort of Kaneda in this movie, in the world of Akira. Yes, Kai is working as part of this like resistance movement that's trying to take down the government that is keeping all these psychics held up. And so then she joins forces with Kaneda when Tatsuo discovers a psychic ability and tries to reawaken Akira.
Why does it sound like you're saying Canada, but in a weird way?
It's Akira.
No, not when you say that one, the other name.
Kaneda.
Kaneda.
Yeah, that.
Because his name is Kaneda.
It sounds like you don't know how to pronounce Canada.
His name is spelled K-A-N-E-D-A.
And in Japan, it again.
Kaneda. Yes, I know how it sounds.
I love it. I feel like I'm talking to a retarded child every time you say it. Like, not just you. I'm sure anyone that'll say it, it sounds that way. But it's better because you're from Canada. All right, I'm sorry. I'm done.
Okay. Moving on. Doctor Who is getting a movie from the from the director of Harry Potter. But the last two Harry Potters.
There's been different directors?
Yes, David Yates, who directed the Deathly Hallows duology, will be directing a like silver screen adaptation of Doctor Who.
Is it going to have anything to do with the TV show? Like what doctors are gonna be?
I don't know.
Now, do you think they'll just? Well, what they did previously is they just did side story arcs for movies, which is really okay with Doctor Who. It works because, he's a time traveler, and there's a lot of time that you don't see. So they could really pick any of the recent Doctors and do a side story movie, and that would be acceptable.
I'm guessing it's going to be like Matt Smith.
Probably. It would be cool if they actually like tied in with the current storyline, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so moving on. The Asteroids movie has a screenwriter.
Oh, man, there's stuff
how do you make
this.
A movie from that?
I don't know. You put someone attractive inside the triangle and give them some really retarded backstory about how their wife was killed by an asteroid.
ooh, raped and murdered by an asteroid.
No. Sorry, it has to be a young woman in the triangle whose parents were raped and murdered by an asteroid.
Yes, and then, her mom gave birth to an asteroid baby that tried to kill her with laser vision. And she beat him to death with his shoe.
I can't believe this is still going forward. I can't believe this was even fucking brought up. I can't. Oh, man.
That's Hollywood for you. They have run out of ideas.
I mean, I
like,
look.
Some people would say you'd have to be high to come up with an idea like that, but no. High people are way more original than that.
Yeah, it's like.
Goddamn monkeys throwing paint at a chalkboard would come up with a better idea than that.
Yeah, because I mean, like, there's that thing, like, put enough monkeys in a room with typewriters, they'll eventually type out the entire works of William Shakespeare.
You know, that's what drives me crazy about this is one of those things. Like, I've been trying to write a movie script for like the last 3 years now, and I find myself making excuses. Second, I have little time, and third of all, I'm running out of ideas at every fucking turn. And then when I hear about movies like this or like Beverly Hills Chihuahua being made, it makes me think, like, am I really that stupid that I can't finish this? Or are these people just, I don't give a shit, I'm going to write anything, and I don't give a shit how it turns out as long as I get fucking paid for it? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to think.
Well, dude, like, if you want, like, bounce some ideas off of us. You know, that's what we're here for.
Okay. You want me to do it right now?
After we finish the news.
Okay.
All right, so, well, the screenwriter is, his name is Evan Spiliotopoulos.
Wow, that's a name.
Yes, and he's also the one who wrote the script for Snow White and the Huntsman.
What is that?
It is the upcoming Kristen Stewart Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs movie.
Kristen Stewart again?
Yes. You know, because
why is she in movies?
Because she's cheap.
Like, I even understand Robert Pattinson. He is a somewhat decent actor.
Yeah, he was pretty good in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So, moving on to someone else who is not a great actor but comes cheap. Dwayne The Rock Johnson will be starring in a movie which is an adaptation of the Monster Hunter Survival Guide, the comic book from Zenoscope Productions.
So about Rock movies.
I'm so about Zenoscope movies. Because this is the first one, and Zenoscope has a history of being horribly violent. So it could be kind of cool.
Yeah, that's
one of those ones that could go either way.
Yeah.
With a little more hope of going the right way.
Outside of his kids' movies, I kind of really like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I mean, is it Drive or
Driven?
Driven.
I haven't seen that one, but I love The Rundown.
Yeah, The Rundown, that's a really good movie. And Walking Tall, he was really good at that too. I mean, when it comes to like regular non-kid movies like, you know, The Tooth Fairy, which I've never seen, but it's not in my fucking wheelhouse. I mean, he can pull it off. I mean, he's good. I like him. Well, so this sounds actually interesting.
I said one thing about The Tooth Fairy. It's not as bad as you think. That's about all I can say for it.
Okay, and finally, our last bit of news. Do either of you guys watch CSI?
Fuck no.
No.
Well, they're getting a new leading lady. Elizabeth Shue.
Ooh, I might start watching it now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I would fucking never stop banging her.
Yeah, she's really hot. And she's actually pretty talented.
Yeah.
Like, I loved her in Hamlet, too.
But she play herself.
Yes, I know, but a fictionalized version of herself who no one ever remembers.
She quit acting and turned into a nurse. That was hilarious.
Yes, and then it's like, John, it's Elizabeth. I'm back in acting. Elizabeth Shue. Even her agent, who she worked with for years, doesn't remember who she is.
That movie was surprisingly good. Yeah, say it was good. Yeah,
Steve fucking Coogan, man.
I had no interest in seeing it, but then I don't remember the situation where I was watching it, but it was one of those situations where I had no choice but to watch it, and I remember all right. Okay, yeah, I can do this. This is all right.
Yeah. That was actually kind of funny was one of the guys who played the head Latino kid.
Yeah.
He was also in Crank 2.
Really?
Yes, and in Crank 2, he had a fucking diamond grill, was covered in tattoos from head to toe, and cut off one of his own nipples with a knife.
Good God.
Yeah. Crank 2, dude. We need to do a commentary on that.
Ugh.
Crank is so fucking awesome, dude.
Those are not good movies. I haven't seen them, but I don't need to.
Yes, you do.
No. Yes. I do not need to see a movie where stupid everything happens.
Dude,
Crank 2, I will say, is horrible, but Crank is actually good.
Dude, in Crank 2, fucking Jason Statham and some random Japanese guy turn to giants, turn to disfigured giants, and fight in the miniature city, fighting over something that's inside a cooler.
Unless the miniature city looks like a fake city.
It does look like a fake city.
No. Not good enough.
It looks like cardboard.
It needs to look like...
It looks like a fifth grade diorama of a city.
It needs to look like a cartoon crayon drawing of a 5-year-old with two broke hands.
Okay, well, fuck you. What? Fuck you. Fuck you, dude. At some point, we're going to be doing the Crank movies. Okay, so, yeah, I guess it does it for news. So yeah, pitch a movie.
It's a zombie movie.
Of course.
I know. It came to me in a dream, and it was really during the time when zombie everything was starting to happen, but not at where it is now. And it was that my idea was it's a zombie film that is mostly zombies are very much the backdrop. And it's all about the characters and what they go through and how dramatic it is for them. My thinking was, there's always either zombie horror movies or there's zombie comedy movies. There's never anything dramatic when it comes to zombie movies.
Well, now we have The Walking Dead.
Exactly, yeah. That 2 years later, all of a sudden, Walking Dead comes out, and I'm like, great, there goes that fucking awesome pitch that I had. If I was ever going to finish it and be able to try selling it. So it's there's the main character and his best friend, and they set out to go find the main character's cousin, who's his only surviving relative. Just basically just to go make sure he's all right. They can't get a hold of him. Mm-hmm. That's, and then it's basically what happens and who they meet along the way to do so. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing is the main character, he has struggled his whole life with failure. And now he's doing this, as his, I have to do something. This is something I have to do. But by the time the end of the movie, he still feels like he's a failure. Mm-hmm. When he dies.
Well, yeah, that could be good, but just with the zombie thing, you think about maybe changing that into some other kind of monster?
Well, you know what? I did, I wrote in there a little bit about, like, these creatures that are, like, I kind of took the idea from, Left 4 Dead. Not exactly. Like, there's two different kinds of creatures besides the zombies. There's the ones that are called the raptors, which are, like, horses-shaped creatures with, like, their front legs are just, like, claws. Like, just razor-sharp claws. Just one claw on each side. And then, like, their body's shaped like a horse with, like, a creature head. And they kind of – the reason why they call them raptors is because they kind of work in packs and kind of have, like, that thing of, like, have one as a decoy kind of thing sometimes or whatever. Mm. And then there's also another creature which they would call the Goliath, which is, like, a big hawking kind of creature that – no one's ever seen, you know. It's, well, people have seen it, but it's always been like that I've seen it, but, like, no one's ever seen it kind of thing until, like, late in the movie. So I did, yeah, I was trying to spice it up a little bit that way.
Yeah,
and, like, I'm just trying to put things in there that is, like, very like, there's a scenario that I want to have in there where they're, like, walking down the street and they see this lady, like, crying on the side of the road where she's holding something. And they see a couple of zombies in this field heading towards her. And, like, as the zombies are getting to her, like, the group of people are like, oh, shit, we should do something about this and try helping her. And then there's, you know, an explosion that happens, which you find out the scene would be like you see her holding a child that's turned into a zombie, or herself is turned into a zombie, whatever. She has, like, a grenade or something. She pulls the pin because she knows it's over with. And just be like, holy shit, that just happened.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it has some potential. We don't really have much time to get into it here, but, yeah, we'll, like, later on, we'll me and Bobby, like, we'll get back on here. We'll fucking bang this shit out, man.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, any and all ideas are completely welcome.
This gives me inspiration to actually get started on my movie script idea, because I started off trying to write it as a book, and that's just not going to work.
I'm telling you right now, a website, and I'll throw this out there for anyone that's listening also, scriptbuddy.com. It's really simple. All you got to do is you sign up, make an account, and it kind of like – it's like a template you use, and it puts everything in order of where it should be as how scripts are supposed to be written. Because there's all these – like all the learning I've done for writing scripts over the internet, you know, there's everything that has to be very precise when writing scripts. And this is basically just a template that you write out your script, and it, like, puts everything in place for you as you go along. And it saves right over the internet. I mean, it's just saved on the internet. So it's, you know, it's actually a really nice website, I think. And you can go on there, you can read other people's stories that they have on there, other scripts and stuff like that. And you can comment on other people's movie scripts and stuff. I mean, it's really a really nice site.
Okay, cool. So yeah, definitely check that out. So I guess on to new releases.
All right.
Okay, so in terms of, like, wide release stuff, there are two. There is There is Happy Feet 2.
Yeah.
And the Twilight Saga: Breaking Dawn Part 1.
Ugh.
Okay, this is coming out today, Friday, November 18th. So, in terms of limited release, we have Another Happy Day. Let me actually just click some of these links to see what these movies actually the fuck are. So, Another Happy Day, it's some bullshit thing, so I'll just read the synopses for these releases. So, Ellen Barkin stars in this darkly comic story of the emotional roller coaster of a family gathering. On the eve of her estranged son's wedding, Lynn, a woman who has always worn her emotions on her sleeve, must deal with a long simmering feud with her ex-husband, played by Thomas Hayden Church, and his hot-tempered wife, played by Demi Moore. The disdain of her cold mother, a distant father, and the ridicule of her ever-judgmental sister. And the fact that she brings along her three deeply troubled children don't make things any easier for Lynn. Yeah.
Thomas Hayden Church, great actor.
Yeah. Wonder how he's going to be in this thing. So, next up we have Garbo the Spy. And so Garbo the Spy profiles the enigmatic counter-spy Spaniard Juan Puyo Garcia, the only person that would have been decorated by both the Allies and the Axis for the service during the Second World War. Codenamed Garbo by British intelligence and dubbed Alaric by the Nazis, this self-made double agent earned recognition by taking it upon himself to fabricate a network of phantom agents across Europe and feeding false information to the Nazis. As a result, I don't know how to fucking pronounce his name. I guess saying, well, if I say it the way I think it's pronounced, it'll be Pujol.
That sounds probably right.
Yeah, it's Pujol. Any verdict on that? Or should I just call him Pujol?
I bet Pujol's closer to right than wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, so Pujol contributed to saving thousands of lives from both sides, most notably misinforming the Germans about the timing and location of the Normandy invasion. So yeah, it's a World War II drama documentary thing.
As much as I'm tired of World War II stuff, video games and movie and TV show-wise, I'm definitely interested in watching it because this stuff always sucks me in.
Yeah, and plus it's not an American World War II movie.
Yeah,
I think it's a documentary too. Okay, so moving on, we have The Heir Apparent, Largo Winch. I have no idea what the fuck that is. So, when billionaire financier Nerio Winch, head of the W Group, is murdered, his second-in-command must locate his only heir, a heretofore unknown adopted son, Largo. But first, the heir, a 20-something adventurer, must overcome an onslaught of drug traffickers, assassins, corporate raiders, and double-dealing insiders to fulfill his destiny in this twisty, fast-paced corporate thriller. Yeah.
It sounds pretty generic, I guess.
Yeah.
Interesting, but generic.
Yeah. So we also have The Lie, which I will not get into because it looks stupid and fucking retarded. Yeah, like, the poster of it is, like, a woman who looks like a lesbian, like, sitting cross-legged on the floor with, like, her head in her hand while a baby's next to her.
Oh, man, everything about that sounds horrible.
Yeah, so then there's Rid of Me. So this one actually might look not terrible. From writer director James Westby, who also apparently did The Film Geek and The Auteur, comes Rid of Me, a black comedy that follows Maris, an awkward young woman trying too hard to perfect her marriage amongst a new group of friends. With a breakout lead performance from Katie O'Grady, and an ensemble cast that includes Art Alexakis and Teresa Russell, Rid of Me followed Maris' rejection from the cool crowd down a path towards truth and salvation, which includes a job at a local candy shop, a group of punk friends, community gardening, and a newfound love for Cambodian rock music.
Oh my god, that sounds fucking horrific.
Yeah, it could be bearable.
Punk rockers and Cambodian rock music.
Hmm. Okay. And then finally, there is Tyrannosaur. So, Tyrannosaur is the story of Joseph, a man plagued by violence and a rage that is driving him to self-destruction. As Joseph's life spirals into turmoil, and a chance of redemption appears in the form of Hannah, a Christian charity shop worker. Their relationship develops to reveal that Hannah is hiding a secret of her own with devastating results on both their lives. Tyrannosaur is an exploration of how love and friendship can be found in the darkest of places. That sounds terrible.
See, the way you said Tyrannosaur, I expected there was going to be a movie about a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
So did I.
For some reason, I had in my mind there's going to be like some space-age Tyrannosaurus Rex. I don't know why I thought that way, but...
Yeah, it's weird. Okay, so then, next week, So these are the movies coming out on Wednesday the 23rd. We have The Motherfucking Muppets.
Oh, okay.
You can't go wrong with them.
Yeah. You also can't go wrong with Jason Segel, The Muppets. Jason Segel presents The Muppets.
Is that what they're calling it?
No, they're just calling it The Muppets.
Oh, okay.
But I know it's like, I just look at the thing on here.
I believe he has a lot to do with the production of it.
Yep. Jason Segel writing it, starring in it, and I'm guessing producing it too?
Probably one of, probably executive producer or something. He's been in talks with the
Henson.
Muppet, the Jim Henson people for a while now. I remember hearing about this a long time, a couple of years ago. It was like right after, what's that movie that he did, Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Yeah. Okay, we also have it coming out on the 23rd. The most bizarre movie on this list, by just looking at the title, looking at what I know of him, Hugo, a steampunk fantasy children's movie directed by Martin Scorsese.
Oh, okay.
That might be interesting.
Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
Children's movie.
Steampunk fantasy children's movie.
Everything about that sounds interesting.
It's like a steampunk fantasy children's movie. Well, that sounds kind of cool, directed by Martin Scorsese. What? Like, does at some point some guy go, "Hey, Jimmy, boom, Merry Christmas." I don't know. Just like some guy gets strangled by, like, I don't know, someone's leather bootstraps. with some weird steampunk choking mechanism that he designed. Okay, so, and then other thing in wide release, just look this up. Arthur Christmas.
I don't like the sound of this.
It's from Sony Pictures Animation, starring James McAvoy and Hugh Laurie. So Arthur Christmas, let me just read you a plot summary. Set on Christmas night, the story of Arthur Christmas at last reveals the incredible, never-before-seen answer to every child's question. So how does Santa deliver all those presents in one night? The answer? Santa's exhilarating, ultra-high-tech operation hidden beneath the North Pole. But at the heart of the film is a story with the ingredients of a Christmas classic. A family in a state of comic dysfunction and an unlikely hero, Arthur, with an urgent mission that must be completed before Christmas morning dawns. McAvoy leads the cast as Arthur, the good-natured but clumsy younger son of Santa. Arthur loves everything to do with Christmas. Indeed, he is the only one of his family still captivated by the magic of the holiday. Laurie will play Arthur's older brother, Steve, heir to the reins, a cool, incredibly capable guy who has given the North Pole high-tech efficiency, military-style precision. Broadbent, who is, that would be Jim Broadbent, play Santa, who pictures himself as the guy in charge of the North Pole, but is now more of a figurehead as the operation has outgrown him. Nighy, that's Bill Nighy, plays Santa's 136-year-old father, Grand Santa. A cranky old codger who hates the modern world, is always grumbling that Christmas was better when I was Santa, has a tense relationship with Steve, who he calls a postman with a spaceship. Jensen,
fucking hate this movie.
Yes, thank you.
Hey, but hey, dude, James McAvoy.
It know, doesn't
Professor
matter.
X.
Does it save it?
Yeah, it doesn't.
God, like, the whole time you're talking, I wanted to be like, all right, we get it, but I was trying to be nice and let you finish.
Don't be nice, dude. It's a fucking podcast.
I don't want to be like, don't stop.
Okay.
Yeah, so. Postman with the spaceship was just too fucking much.
Okay, so then, coming out also on the 23rd in New York and Los Angeles, we have A Dangerous Method, which is a...
That's the name of it?
Yes, it's directed by David Cronenberg, and stars Keira Knightley, Viggo Mortensen, and Michael Fassbender.
Wow, there are some people we haven't seen in a while.
Yes. On the eve of World War I, Zurich and Vienna are the setting for the dark tale of sexual and intellectual discovery. Drawn from true life events, A Dangerous Method takes a glimpse into the turbulent relationships between fledgling psychiatrist Carl Jung, his mentor Sigmund Freud, and Sabina Spielrein, the troubled but beautiful young woman who has come between them. Into the mix comes Otto Gross, a debauched patient who's determined to push the boundaries. In this exploration of sensuality, ambition, and deceit set the scene for the pivotal moment when young Freud and Sabina come together and split apart, forever changing the face of modern thought.
It well, when you could said World be War... good.
Yeah. When you said World War One, I was thinking, alright, but it sounds like it has really nothing to do with it.
Yeah, it's just kind of set, it's just kind of like the backdrop. It's like, yeah. World War One is happening somewhere else. But over here, we got these people talking about what it's like to fuck each other.
Yeah.
So, we also have My Week with Marilyn. A biopic. It's a biopic with Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, I was going to say, that has to be something to do with her. Mm-hmm. How wouldn't it?
Yeah. And then we got some other bullshit, coming out limited release. I don't give a fuck. So yeah, I guess it's going to do it for new releases. So, any of you guys watch any trailers?
What trailer did I see? I seen one on TV.
Oh, I saw one, a Safe House. I'm not sure if I've talked about it.
Yes, you did, last week.
Yeah, okay. I thought so.
Okay, so I guess...
Trailers.
Yeah, so I don't think I've watched any trailers. And Shax, you can't remember the one you watched?
I can't. God damn, I'm sorry. I should have wrote
it
down. Fuck
trailers.
Yeah. Okay, so...
I usually like watching them on IMDb... But, I always do it, once in a great while. I'll go through and watch a bunch for, movies that are not coming out for another 6 months to a year.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to watch many trailers because, I'm in university. Exams are coming up. I have a research paper due next Friday about, 3D imaging and its use for reconstructing crime scenes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm kind of busy. And I'm also still playing through Chrono Cross, trying to get the review done for that.
Yeah, and that's been a lot for me too, is playing, I got new games. I'm fucking backed up on new games, and work's been crazy, and you brought up, watching Twilight Zone, and I'm like, fuck man, I put that shit in my instant queue after the last podcast for movies, and I haven't watched one of them yet. It's I need to get on that shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so I guess that's gonna do it for this week's edition of the Death Store Prods Movies Podcast. Be sure to come back next Friday in the morning for our commentary track for Final Fantasy VII Advent Children.
When are we doing that?
We are recording on a Thursday and I'm posting it on Friday.
Okay.
Yes, and, well, you guys willing, this will be a new bi-weekly feature.
I'm down for it.
Yeah,
I'll do it bi-weekly.
Yeah, so tune in every Friday that we don't put out a movies podcast to download a commentary track for some bullshit movie that we watch.
Yeah. Advent Children, not bullshit.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, bullshit's kind of been my catchphrase for the week.
All right.
I even titled the anime podcast, Anime 6, Some Bullshit. Well, yeah, so, yeah, tune in. Yeah, so come back Friday for that. We will be joined by a special guest, Punchatron from the Anime Podcast. And I think Ninja Kitty will be with us too.
Ninja Kitty will likely be with us.
Okay, so yeah, it's gonna be fun. And hopefully we'll be able to do more, and hopefully this will help us bring in more people. And because we need to get to 1,000 unique visitors before we can start getting paid.
Oh, that's it? That's all we need?
And I want I want a goddamn press pass for Anime North.
That too. So. Yeah, so, as always, you can find us on Twitter, you can find the site at DeathStoreProds, I'm at Deadman_DDProds, then there's at Bovywan and at FuckShax. Of course, we're also on Facebook, like us on there, it'll help us out a lot. We are on iTunes, download us there, we got shit on RSS, and just come to the site, let us know how we're doing, leave us some reviews, I've been thinking of restarting the forums, so you might have that to look forward to.
I think I'm going to make, something for – because, the only forums I really go on to right now is the SG ones. And I think I'm going to make, a signature or something for us, people can click on or something, maybe get some people there.
Yeah, on my signature right now, I just have, a link. to the site. Like, not even a picture, just like, yeah, check out my site.
Yeah, I'm going to have to figure something out. I don't know. I can't find anything good. Oh, I can't find any good skis or...
Scythes.
I knew I was reading that wrong.
Like, man, I want to get something really awesome, but I can't find a good Skeeth render.
I can't find anything. That's my problem is renders. I can't render for shit, and so I need someone to render for me. And fuck off, I can find anyone. I mean, like, I do go to websites like, you know, like Planet Render, not whatever, but yeah.
Okay, so yeah, anyone who has a good Scythe render, send it to prisoner_Sean@yahoo.com.
Have you talked to Sonic?
About what? About like the banner stuff?
No, about my email.
Oh right, yeah. I will be getting onto that then. Yeah. So yeah, just follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on iTunes. It'll help us out. Let us know how we're doing. The forums might be coming back soon. And come back next week for Final Fantasy VII Advent Children commentary track. So, until then, though, I'm Dead.
I'm Bobiwan.
I'm Shax, and I gotta write my movie script.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next time.